to, quote, understand the problems of the day-to-day life of regular Americans who come into their courts seeking a small measure of justice. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that is judiciously put.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum, some think it's noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each sparkle and each bangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I deal my own deck, sometimes the ace, sometimes the deuces. It's war.
It must be Saturday night at midnight because you're listening to After Hours, a continuing tradition on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, and music here for gay and lesbian people. Just as Gloria Gaynor says in this song, it's time to open up your closets, we at After Hours urge everyone to come out of their closets. By our definition, that means standing up for yourself and taking responsibility for your own life. But if you feel that you can't come out right now because of your age, your job, or whatever reason, that's okay. We're here for you too. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of After Hours.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Can't hear a thing on this. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the... I can't hear anything on my headphones.
I can't hear anything now. I could.
Oh, there we go.
Golly.
Oh. Now I know how Jimmy feels.
What?
We're only broadcasting in mono, and I had the headphone up like this. I couldn't hear a damn thing.
No, you're broadcasting in mono. I'm in stereo over here.
No, this is the blood pouring out of your ears. Hello, Houston, Galveston, Huntsville, and the world. This is the 23rd of July edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm in front of the computer screen. I can go to the lower right-hand corner. So. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
Oops.
What?
There we go.
And I'm Jimmy Carper, the longest-running co-executive producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the one in a mess right now.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh, so how was everybody's week? We got to step up. We got a full show tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, this show is brought to you by Crisco, because it's the only way we're packing everyone in.
We have Reese's here tonight.
Yeah, gentle my wife. Ah,
there we go. Suburbia here tonight. We're going to have stage door.
Sweet Jesus, I can hear.
And Gigi.
Wow. So. All right.
He stuck it all the way in, and now I can hear.
Oh. Well.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Strange. Usually the side effects of Viagra is loss of hearing.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
You must have had a good week.
No, it sucked. Not in a good way.
Really?
Yeah, mine did, too.
I am so flippin' broke right now.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I screwed up and spent that $200 last week at the car wash, thinking I still had enough money left over.
Uh-huh.
Once my insurance payment hits, I've got $20 for the week.
Hey, that's
wow! Nice. And you got a week to go, huh? Hmm.
Yeah. So that's
oh, not bad.
He just hung himself,
and not in a good way. The hell, that headphones are going around the.
Like around the world?
That's not the around the world I wanted to have, was with my headphones.
Good Lord.
All right. That's why I brought a cup so I can make my own water here.
I see.
So. Wow. Yeah, San Antonio is definitely off. I can't afford Taco Bell, let alone San Antonio. There goes my kids getting...
Ace weekend for you, huh?
Oh, there was Ace weekend going on that time? I was just going to get laid.
That's why I thought you were going for Ace Weekend.
No, he didn't know a thing about Ace Weekend, so.
Okay.
Well, I did go for Ace. I was going to go for Ace Weekend, too, yes.
Okay.
Well,
but I've got my priorities, damn it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wes?
Mine sucked badly.
Oh.
I mean, it was just a horrid week, so.
Oh, wow.
And what's really bad about it is it continues for 3 days next week.
Oh, that guy's still on vacation.
Yes.
And read his Facebook, you'll see.
And he won't be back until Thursday.
Okay.
So, probably by Thursday, I'll be completely bald.
Oh. That would be a new look.
You'll get all the salt and pepper out of your hair.
Shut up.
More salt.
Anyway, things going on.
Spit it out, Jimmy.
He's not used to spitting. He's a swallower.
That was good.
That makes good radio.
Yes, it does.
Right, Miss Robitussin? I know you're listening.
Yeah. We'll get calls on that. We always do. The Queer Music Heritage for July 2011 from J.D. Doyle, who is the guru of gay music of the world. In the U.S., we may not have heard of the band Wicked Lady, but in the late 70s in Europe, they were one of the first out-of-the-closet all-lesbian rock bands. The band's founder, Sue Exley, shares with us their story and music in an exclusive interview. And in parts 2 and 3 this month, you'll find lots of gems from our music history, including Dusty Springfield and Leslie Gore singing in foreign languages. This is another installment of what I'd like to call my songs I've been meaning to play. So that first hour that you will hear Monday night on Queer Voices, which is on from 9 to 11 on this station. He gets the second hour to do that. And if you go to the website, queermusicheritage.com, you'll get to hear parts 2 and 3. And so you get to hear Leslie Gore and Dusty Springfield singing in foreign languages, okay? and then, of course, his Out Radio, which it runs for the whole month. And you get that by outradio.com. Now we've got some theater news from Judy.
Well, not a whole lot tonight, but it's interesting.
Okay.
Rocky Horror Show auditions at Stage Door Inc. in Pasadena are going to be going on pretty quick.
Just fasten
your garter belt and come up to the lab and see what's going on in the slab.
Tonight or Sunday.
Whoa. The Rocky Horror Show auditions are time warping into Stage Door Inc. on Sunday, July 24th and Monday, July 25th at 7 p.m. each evening. It's thrilled to produce this hilarious, sinfully twisted salute to sci-fi horror. I get all the tongue twisters.
Mm-hmm.
Gender bending and rock music.
I think I'm going to try out for Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
You go, girl.
Oh,
all rolled into one deliciously decadent. What a shame they have Saturday night shows.
Mm-hmm.
Decadent Madcap musical, just in time for the fall. Auditions will be held at 284 Pasadena Town Square Mall, inside the Pasadena Town Square Mall. Got that?
Got it.
Details will follow
in Pasadena. Yeah. Headshots and resumes would be appreciated. This is a non-paying gig. So.
Headshots.
Rocky?
I'm not going there.
Would you prefer I've tried out for Frankenfurter?
I'm almost done. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I think I'll pass on the rest of that one then.
Not
spend a lot of time on this one because Theater Suburbia is actually going to be here this evening.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But Doris opened her new show, Who Was That Masked Man?
Oh, this is the Summer Miller drama.
Yeah, the Summer Miller drama has arrived. It opened last night, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it yet. I should have gone to see it this weekend, but I didn't, you know. So this popular melodrama set in Houston, Texas,
Whee!
In 1895, and has all the characters... Widow Wally Doodle and Old Geezer, Billy Bunyan, Lotta Bazooms, Sally Scuttlebutt, Corona Backspace, and others. So, It's going to be running through some long time now.
I know. It's
runs for 5 weeks, doesn't it?
Well, it's written in Houston. Actually, yeah, it runs an extra week, and we have an extra Sunday that it's going to run.
Cool.
But one of the Sundays is already sold out. If you want to see the melodrama, you do really need to make reservations early by calling 713-682-3525. They've also opened their new season after the melodrama, and I'm going to be directing the first show in the new season, which opens September 16th, a Texas romance, followed by Dear Santa, Deadly Murder, Play On, First Baptist of Ivy Gap, The Psychic, and Old Time, another old-time melodrama. So the theater's, you know, moving into its 52nd season, having a lot of fun doing that, and if you're interested in coming out and doing some volunteering, you can also do that at, what's the number? 713-682-3525, or dropping by the theater just about any evening. Somebody's out there either meeting or rehearsing.
Don't you have auditions?
I have auditions actually tomorrow afternoon. And Monday evening at 7:30, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, and Monday evening.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for one man in his, I'm going to say late teens, early 20s, or at least you have to have that look about you. And two women, one in, I'm going to say around 30s, and one in her 40s.
Okay.
It's going to be a small cast, but a huge play. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Just three people?
Three people, yes. In a small Texas town in the 1920s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Next.
Yeah, it's me. We'll hear a little bit more about this later on. The Drag in a Bag show on Sunday.
Sunday.
July 24th over at the BRB at 7 p.m. That's a new Reese's event, and they'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. what the hell's Door Alley? I approved the message. I didn't know.
Dory Alley. It's a festival in San Francisco, where it's a leather festival, and there's incidental nudity.
Oh, incidentally, yeah. if you're looking for something to do next weekend, it's Dory Alley and ILSB. They're having their own little leathery weekend in Houston. On Friday the 29th, the Misfits are co-sponsoring the showing of Kink Crusaders, a documentary on the 30th anniversary of IML, at 11 p.m. at Rice University as part of Q-Fest.
11 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's leather. It's kink. When you want
to. For details, go to q-fest.org. For the details on how to get the tickets.
Okay.
Another Reese's event, Board Director's Tent Revival Show. So they'll talk to you more about that in a moment. Tater Tuesday starts back up on, surprisingly enough, Tuesday, August 2nd, over at the BRB. Boy of Montrose 2011, Christopher Barr brings you the return of Tater Tuesday. This is a benefit for the PWA Holiday Charities Working Fund. There's a minimum $5 donation requested. Don't forget, on July 28th, the dedication of the Montrose Remembrance Garden at the corner of California and Grant Streets, part of the Aaron Shorehorn Foundation for Change. And something a little bit further along here. Gaio Houston is sponsoring a Thanksgiving meal for a family in need.
Oh.
You can go to HoustonGaio.org. That's Houston, GALLO.org. They're looking for $39 donations for a meal. If you're going to pay by credit card, they ask you to pay the service charge on that. So for more information, like I said, go to HoustonGaio.org. Next.
Don Gill Productions presents Girl of Montrose Contest 2011.
Ooh, and this is the first one, isn't it?
Yes, on Saturday, August 6th, 2011, over at George Country Sports Bar, 617 Fairview. This is being put on by director Eric Stutz, Daddy of Montrose 2009. Social starts at 8, contest at 9, benefiting the PWA Holiday Charity Working Accounts. Applications are available at George Bar or online at firstfamilyofmontrose.org/girlofmontrose.
Wow, that Eric gets around.
Yeah, he does. You know, I ran into him over at the bar the other night. He was actually working.
Yeah. He does work there.
Yeah. Let's see, Mr. and Ms. Tony Corner Pocket 2011 contest. Does fundraising sound like fun? Would you like to represent Tony's Corner Pocket? How about the opportunity to donate 100% of what you raise to the charity or charities of your choice? Better yet, want to represent the Houston gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community for the next 12 months? Winning $200 is not bad either. The next Mr. and Mrs. Tony Corner Pocket will get to do that and more. So this is going to take place on Sunday, August 14th, 2011 at 7 p.m. Registration starts at 6 p.m. Over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. This year's theme is Fantasy Island, Adventures in Paradise,
how nice.
With the presentation theme being Tropical Fantasy. So, let's see, there's going to be four categories: presentation, which needs to be a tropical fantasy, talent, 10 minutes max, formal evening wear, and on-stage question and answers.
Mm.
So, for more details, you can go to tonyscornerpocketbar.com/Mr_Ms_TCP. And my final one on, I don't know what day of the week that is, but August 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. over at the BRB is Pennies for Pets.
Oh, yes.
Benefiting the Pet Patrol, a people-pet partnership. Bring that jar of pennies, quarters, or dollars down to the Brazos River bottom for a great cause. Individuals and teams of friends compete to see who brings the most spare change. This is a proud sponsor. The proud sponsors are Outsmart, Houston LGBT Magazine. So bring your picture of your pets and brag about them on our wall of love. For more questions, you can go to www.thepetpatrol.org.
You can also look for tubs at some of the various bars where some of the clubs are put out things for you to donate change and money to event. I know the Big Men sat one up at the Ripcord.
Nice. Nice. Okay, we've got a Reese's here tonight for our end of the month quickie.
Oh, you know me about quickies.
Yes. Falcon is here.
Falcon will be out in 2 minutes.
And Jim is here. Hi, Jim.
Bonjour. How are you?
I'm just great. Oh, good, how are you doing?
I can't complain. I'm sorry I missed you last month.
Yeah, well, I heard that there was a problem.
Yes.
Oh, just that's a little mishap. Right.
A little mishap.
Yes.
I see that on your forehead.
Yes. A lot better than it was, but it's okay. I digress.
Whew.
So, but I'm here now and I'm well.
Good.
And so I was going to come out that night, but I was told by several people not know.
Of course not.
Well, I felt more embarrassed, but that's beside the point.
But it's still Harry Potterish right now. So.
I know. I need to get the big round glasses.
So what's going on with Erises? Either one of you.
Same old, same old. Doing lots of shows, lots of charity,
yeah,
fundraising.
But you have lots of interesting shows, different themes.
Well, we try.
Yeah.
Well, there's one that I would like to announce. It's on the 29th of Friday at the BRB. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hosted by myself. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything in months and months and months. So I talked to a few friends of mine who kind of persuaded me that it was about time to do something, so I thought I would the day after my birthday.
Is this a birthday show?
The big birthday.
No, yeah. The big birthday. Yeah.
Oh.
The big birthday.
Oops.
And instead of gifts or what have you, please donate to this wonderful night of hilarity, music, dance, song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be, it's just a little thing I threw together with some close friends. It's called, and I don't know if I can mention it, but it's called Bitchin' Decades.
No, I haven't seen it. Do you have a poster on it? Or?
Well, I do, but it's not with me. It's at home.
Oh.
But basically, we are doing, for those who would like to perform, mm-hmm. To do a number from the decade that they were born.
Oh, yes.
So I'm doing 1980.
Oh, my God.
And I'm doing the 90s.
I would have to do a war song.
Which war?
Civil.
I didn't go there.
I was born in 48.
That's not on the poster, is it?
No. I thought about that, but there wasn't much room. But we
was that 1848?
See, these people are really after you.
But, oh, I'm sorry, 1748.
But like I said, it's open to anyone who wants to perform. You can lip sync. You can play an instrument. You can stand up and tell jokes. Just come out and have fun. Raise some money. If you don't want to perform, still bring your checkbook.
Sure.
We'll take your money. We're not proud. And it's going through Coordination 28 mm-hmm. and our two wonderful charities. And 10% of that is going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill College Fund.
Right.
And so I would like to see.
When is it again and where?
The 29th at the BRB mm-hmm. at 9 o'clock. I was going to say sharp, but you know that's not going to happen.
We're on gay time.
I know better than that.
You can be halfway yes. by the time that show starts.
So, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it might, you know, be a
please,
big...
Some of the drag queens are fully lit.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be. It's not too pretentious. It's mm-hmm. just a lot of fun. Come out. I ran into some people from other events and told them, come on out if you want to perform. We'd love you to. If you just want to help support, we'd mm-hmm. love you to. Because you know how I am.
I do.
One for you.
Yeah.
I know.
And then I turn 50 the day before.
Ooh.
Yeah. Big 5-0.
I'm dyslexic. He's only 5.
So what else is going on with the Reese's?
Well, tomorrow night we got this little show called Drag in the Bag.
Oh, yes.
You like the Drag of the Bag, don't you, Jimmy?
I do. It's fun to watch.
Well, it's also easy to put on.
Yes.
For those who don't know what a Drag of the Bag show is, we basically bring out a whole bunch of wigs, hats, scarves, boas, ties, you name it, throw it all in the big pile, and people go up, and before their number, they put on a little bit of an outfit. No makeup, nothing, no costumes.
No.
Just basically a headpiece and a neck piece, and they don't know what song they're doing either.
No, I know, and that's
and the funny part is
funny.
Better than a drag queen in a bag.
It's pretty much that's what it is. But the interesting is everybody who wants to perform, we put their name in a hat, we draw their name out, mm-hmm. and everybody's like going, "It's fixed." You know exactly what song you're going to do. I made these CDs years ago, and the CDs, I don't even know what order the songs are. There's a pause button in between.
Oh, is that how it's done?
Yes, I actually have a master CD with about 20 songs, and there's two of them.
Ooh.
And I just tell the DJ, when you hear the song fade out, pause it, we'll bring up the next person. But it's basically just pausing. I don't know the order of the songs whatsoever. I don't know what CD he's going to start with. I mean, it's totally up to the DJ. He can bounce from back and forth between the two CDs if he wants to.
Oh.
So it's totally up to him. So we don't know what song, but I made these collections of traditional girls... girlish type songs mm-hmm. like, you know, She's a Lady by Tom Jones or Dude Looks Like a Lady by Earl Smith.
Yeah.
Songs like that. The fun ones that most of us have heard. But it's always a little bit of hilarity to see what people come up with when they get up there. And it's always a fun show.
It is.
It's a little twisted.
And it's where again?
That will be at the BRB tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
And then we have another show coming up at the BRB, which will be the Board of Directors Tent Revival Show.
Yes.
And if anybody's never been to one of our Tent Revival shows, you got to bring out your hankies and start waving them because we bring the house down every single time. And that will be on the 31st, so mm-hmm. a week from tomorrow. And that's mainly being hosted by the board president, Kimberly Ann O'Neill. But all the board is involved, and mm-hmm. it's just going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
We bring out a little bit of gospel into everybody's soul. But that's at 7 p.m. On the 31st. And what else do we got? I got to wait for my phone to load up.
Get to the next
side. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, and everything is on our website. Jim, what's our website?
what is our website?
It is www.eresis.org, and it is ERSICSS.org. And coming up on the 5th of August...
Wait a minute, you've got to spell that out for people.
I'm going to do it the Marsha, Mink, and Gill way. Yeah. It is E as in exciting, R as in red, S as in super, I as in indigo, C as in coffee, S as in... what's another good S? Street, and S as in
star.
Star.
Oh,
we'll use that one. That's actually in the name, isn't it?
Somewhere, but not quite there.
I was going to say, well, how about S as in sex.
I love the. It's my favorite story to tell on the radio. When Marcia was on here and she's trying to give the letters, she was doing that. E is an exciting, R is in red.
Yeah.
And then Chris just pipes up and he goes, well, how about E is an empire, R is a royal, S is in sovereign, I is an imperial.
Boring. Imagination.
Yeah.
But you can go to www.eresus.org to look at our calendar.
Yeah.
August 5th, we have the 5th anniversary show of Emperor 20, let's see, I get it right, 23, Chris Beck and Empress 23 Cheyenne.
Oh, their 5th anniversary.
Their 5th anniversary show.
Or being up or stepping down or something.
Stepping up.
Okay.
And Chris is flying in from Chicago. And
you're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And it's going to be a fun show. It's called When Bling Turns Golden. And poster looks very cool. I should say so myself. Bling I made it. On the 6th, we have our Fire and Ice Ball. We're doing
That's a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. That whole weekend, we're doing a lot of big events.
Mm-hmm.
Fire and Ice Ball, we go to a new
venue.
Yeah, it's going to be at Bayou City Bar.
Oh, that's a nice place.
Mark D has been wonderful to us, and he's actually talking about putting in a stage for us.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. So it should be an up-and-coming new show bar pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've been talking about it, and keep your fingers crossed. And hopefully we'll have a nice new show bar.
Yeah, that would be great.
For a lot of charities to help raise some money for the community.
Yeah.
But the Fire and Ice.
No, that's a formal affair.
It is a formal affair, yes. And I'm waiting for my phone to load up.
Is there a cover charge?
It's very nominal. It's like $5.
Oh, okay.
We don't want to distract from the regulars from coming in and enjoying. So they're doing this year very nominal. It's more about just coming out, having fun.
Good.
And that event, of course, is hosted by our reigning monarchs, Emperor 27 Scott Kenyon and Empress 27 Lillian Devereaux. I almost screwed that up, didn't I? And I'm sober.
Are you sure?
Hey, if I'm upright, I'm sober.
There you go.
That don't mean nothing.
No.
Thank you. you know me too well. On August 7th, Aaron Patterson is doing the Chaos for Chaos show.
Chaos for Cash?
No, Chaos for Chaos.
Yes, the Kimberly Neal. Yes.
Yep. A lot of people get confused about that when they see the poster, but it's chaos as in, you know, insanity.
What this show is
crazy. But it's Chaos for Chaos, and it's spelled KAOS, which stands for the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So people know, we do have a scholarship fund. If people are looking for college money, they can go to believeinadream.org and fill.
Yeah, we need to push that a little bit more.
We really do.
Yeah.
It's something that's very important to Kimberly and the Reeses. Mm-hmm. She started it as her proclamation when she stepped down as Empress 24. So it's a very, this helps Chaos for Chaos show. It's, I believe it's 7 p.m. on Sunday. My phone's very slow about opening up right now. But it's a really fun event. It's basically doing some crazy, fun, exciting numbers and kind of creating a little bit of chaos on stage.
Good.
Then on August 12th, you should brought a calendar, Jim. Yeah, you might read my phone for a while.
I'm just enjoying the conversation. Judy and I are just in our own little world. But we'll take a little break here on August the 14th. KPFG Summer Drive starts.
That's right.
Okay. See, I put a plug in for the radio station.
There you go, Jim.
They want the organizations to get exposed.
Oh, we expose ourselves.
We can do that. Not a problem.
But then we got a big weekend on the 12th and 13th of August.
Okay.
We're doing a little bit of a competition. Me, Empress Crystal, and I decided to have a little bit of a competition, see who could raise
you and Crystal? Oh, my God.
Yes. So we got the Empresses versus the Emperor's weekend.
Okay.
It's a little twist on the boys against the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the idea is to get all the male line and the female line to go out and see who can get the most performers for their show.
Yeah.
So on Friday night, we'll be at George, starting at 8:30. And that would be the Empress's night. So as much money as the girls can raise that night, kudos to them.
Okay.
And then on Saturday night, we'll be at Tony's, and the guys will kick their butts. But I can say that because I'm the emperor. So, but it's just a fun little thing that, you know, we kind of came up with, and I'm hoping that in the future. Okay, he's off and choking on his phlegm again, guys. Hold on.
Sorry. I'm back.
But I wanted the show actually to be kind of like an emperors and dowagers play together. Didn't work out this year because a couple people are busy, but next year I would like to see the Dowagers and the Reigning Monarchs kind of do the show as a fun thing. Get, you know, for the line to jump in on and get the past college to jump in on too. Oh, God, I can hear myself now. What was that?
That was cool.
That was me.
I am so sorry. that was me.
I'm number two.
You're number two.
Yeah.
I just went number two.
Ah!
Just sitting here.
Oh, sh-
Don't make me push that 8 seconds.
I had a cat dance. Here's
3 seconds. I got the 8 over here.
Actually, I got...
It says,
you know,
one, two, three.
Press it once, it goes 3 seconds. If you press it twice, it goes 5 seconds. And press it 3 times, it goes the 8 seconds.
Yeah, but you're not that fast.
I don't know. I've seen.
Let's test it.
I've seen him at Louis, so I know he's fast.
Where's that list you have up on the wall of what you can't say?
No, I'll test it right now. No.
Look at Wes. He's like pointing to it. So
yeah.
I'm not sure about the 14th. We do have a show on the 14th, but I know it's been changed. So check the Arisa's website for that. And then I think the only thing we really got coming up to get us up to the next time we're on the radio is on the. Move my calendar. Move on the 26th. Oh, this is a big show.
Oh,
26th.
Do you have any little shows?
Well,
mine is on the 29th. Mine's a smaller show.
Actually, Jin's is going to be a good show.
Yeah, it'll be fun
because you know, anytime you bring out the decades like that, it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
On the 26th is our board of directors show, the postal auction.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, that is a big deal.
Jimmy
explain
needs
that.
More junk.
So what we do is, and we have some good packages coming out. I know we have some coming in from Australia and Turkey. Mm-hmm. But basically what we do is we get all of our family, friends, and people who are traveling. Mm-hmm. They will send in packages from wherever they are at, and we don't open them. They just send them in to us. We bring them to the show, and we start auctioning. We tell people where they're from, but we don't open them.
Well, what's supposed to be in them?
We don't know. They could be anything.
Whatever they want to put in.
Whatever they want to put into them. But that was the cool thing. I mean,
anthrax.
Yeah, right. Jim, don't scare him away. That was last year.
The official waltzing my dildo from Australia.
There you go.
Exactly. But no, it could be anything. You know, we don't want to prejudice the packages by opening them.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of make it very fair. You know, I've seen really cool stuff. It's a gamut.
And really, and really some racist stuff.
I remember one time it was dog food. It was racist.
Oh!
I'm not going, okay, that was just wrong. But it could
be. If Falcon thinks something's wrong, there's something wrong.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, really. Especially if Falcon says that. And then leading up to that Saturday night when we're on the radio, Bob Skinner is doing his annual birthday and anniversary show.
Good old Bob Skinner. What a sweetheart.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. The postal show would be at George, and it would start around 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Skinner's shows will be at Tony's Corner Pocket, and I believe that starts at 8 p.m. also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony's, we always start around 8.
Okay.
And that's it, Jim.
Great.
Well, you know, and those of you who sat through all of this and forgot everything like I did, because I was rereading this August the 14th through August the 20th KPFT's pledge drive for 2011.
That date's wrong because through the 21st now.
Oh, the 21st, see?
Yeah.
But anyway, you can go to the website, www.erises.org.
Or. I can't remember. Okay. The Empire of the Royal Solomon Pier Court is single star. We are a nonprofit or organization. We'd love to have people come out and volunteer and jump in there when they can. We are a make-believe group where we dress up like kings and queens and, you know, dukes and duchesses. We get to wear all the jewelry, girls. Don't forget.
Yeah. All big jewelry.
All big jewelry. Bigger. Big jewelry. Big hair. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are, I'm going, who
and
went
a lot
to,
of them are big girls, too.
Yes. So please, if you want to join and wear fancy things and be all frilly and all cute and bow and curtsy and do all that stuff, that buccaneer stuff, you know, we'd love to have you come out and join us as well.
Mm-hmm. Or and for you girls who prefer blue jeans and t-shirts, you can still come.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes, because there's behind-the-scenes stuff that need to be done.
There you go.
Always.
I got to tell you, the one person who's the best at doing the bowing and curtsying and stuff is Jim. I mean, he's got this
he is,
down.
He is good. I know how to bow.
He's got it down.
Yeah, I know how to bow and curtsy.
I have seen that.
Yeah, girl.
No, we'll be, I swear to God, if I saw my Kroger's, he'll bow to me. I'm going, dude. Time and a place.
But we are always out helping those who cannot help themselves. You know, like everyone's saying, $1 at a time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we come on the air and we talk, we laugh, we joke, but we're serious about this.
I know.
Some more than others. I've taken a backseat for quite a while, and I need to start driving yet again. So I've decided to come to front seat, and I'm on the passenger side. I'm not in the driver's seat. So I'm going to start, you know, helping out more and getting more involved. And I would like the community to do that as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be us. It can be anybody. Mm-hmm. You can come to the radio station. Sit on down. Jimmy's here.
Yeah.
You know, bring your checkbook, your charge cards, cash. You know, we're not proud. We are Americans. We take money wherever we can.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that. I still take money.
And in any form. We're not proud. Any form, any amount, we are not proud. And with times being so tough, if we have to beg, we will beg you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Yeah. That's me on a platform. I'm done.
Boy, we got to bring him.
That's got to be your next show.
We got to bring him back during pledge drive.
Oh, well, you know, I was here that one time. You know what?
I know. And I haven't really good.
And I haven't done that show yet. Remember that years ago when we did for the pledge drive, you and Chris and myself at EJ's.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
yeah. We did a show for KPFT.
Wasn't that fabulous?
That was fun. It was a lot of fun. We need to do that again. Because you know.
Okay, folks. I hate to kick you out, but we got two more groups coming on.
Woo-hoo, you're into groups. So I know we got to go.
You know I'm into groups. Okay. This has been the Reese's Quickie.
Oh, thank you, Judy. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Wes.
Thank you, everyone. And have a pleasant evening. And happy tomorrow.
Take us away, Chris.
Won't really regret a single moment. I'm gonna mend this heart inside you've broken. It's just a matter of time. Matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
Hi, Judy. Making noise.
I know. They're...
It's a large group.
Look, something pink just flew in the studio.
Hello,
anybody
Judy.
Hi, honey.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing better than you. You're in trouble.
What have you brought to us tonight?
Doris and the Bob. I mean, wait a minute. That was a
boy. Fact. There's a lot of folks in there.
I know, and they're all
looks crowded.
And it ain't all of them. Some of them didn't come.
What a shame.
Let's see.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
That's okay.
Are they bringing chairs in?
Yes, but they're about done with that now. Yeah. It's Summer Mellodrammer time.
Ooh.
And this is.
Oh, I like that. The throwing of the popcorn and everything.
I hate to tell you this, Doris, but y'all are losing money on popcorn every year just from what Jimmy eats in one evening.
Well, I know.
Jimmy didn't come this weekend, and it was opening weekend.
I know. We got tied up.
Uh-huh.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And it was a lot of fun.
That's the main thing.
So how is this melodrama, Doris? Hmm? How is this melodrama?
Well, it's the third time we've done this one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because you bring back
a different cast.
Ah.
We keep rejuvenating it.
It's never the same.
No, actually, Who Was That Masked Man? Was written by a named Joe Middendorf, who passed away several years ago. And it's an original script, and his wife is letting us do it again.
That's nice.
So, it's a takeoff on the Lone Ranger. We have the Masked Man and Pronto.
Pronto?
Pronto. Actually, you may have seen it before, Jimmy.
He won't remember, trust me.
Oh, okay.
I wake up in the new world every day, Doris.
Yeah, he doesn't remember 5 minutes ago.
Anyway, it opened last night, or I guess night before last now.
Oops.
On the 22nd, runs through August the 27th, Friday and Saturdays at 8:30. We do 3 Sunday matinees at 3 o'clock, July the 31st, August the 7th, and August the 14th. And, of course, the number to call is 713-682-3525. And we have a 24-hour answering service. We also have a website called www.theatra.org. It's a great new website, and it gives you all sorts of information to check out. And we've got part of the cast here today. Not all of them came.
You brought the noisy ones.
Yeah. So let's start with Haig over there and let them introduce themselves and tell you what character they play.
Hello. I'm Haig, and I play Pronto. Second to the lone rank, to lone, the Masked Man.
There you go.
Oh, one of those people. He doesn't even know yet. The show's open.
So many familiar faces in there. My God.
Hi, my name is Glenn Dodson, and I play T.T. Pinchpenny.
You can see his whole face this time.
P.T. Pinchpenny.
Holly Wally Doodle.
All the day.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
I'm Donna Dixon, and I play Lotta Bazooms.
Oh, my. Yes, you do.
I'm Marilyn Faulkner, and I play Corona Backspace.
Boy, you have to be of a certain age to get that one.
And everybody laughed.
I'm Mr. Wonderful, and I play Billy Bunyan. And don't forget to stop by my autograph booth.
I'm Kelly
Browning, and I play Sally Scuttlebutt, the East reporter.
Mm.
And she's a Cancer. Oh, and her dad's happy birthday, Mr. Browning. It's her
happy
dad's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Browning.
Yeah, she said he was Browning. Listening tonight.
Happy yes. birthday.
Yeah. Maybe the last Andrew. Time she comes up, right?
I'm Andrew Miles, and I play the Magnolia Kid.
Whoa.
Mean person.
Ooh. I'm Joe Miles. I was typecast as the old geezer.
I'm Marcus Callahan. I'm the tech person in the booth.
He's well, Marcus. I could have a show without Marcus.
You. Anyway, like I said, there are several missing, but maybe from some of the names, the script was written for Corpus Christi. So when you do it in a different location, you change the name to Houston, Texas, and what have you, and pick names for the surrounding area. Throughout it.
So, a versatile play.
Yeah.
How neat.
They've had kind of had fun with it, I think. I'm not sure. They don't listen too well, but then, you know, they're actors.
Have you ever met an actor who could?
Not really.
Or would, or whatever. Oh, was that my out loud voice?
Anyway, would you like us to read a little bit for you?
I would love for you to do that.
Okay, well, since some of the cast members aren't here, Miss Corona Backspace is going to play the part of the widow.
Okay.
Starting page 3, guys.
Oh, Doc, what am I to do since my poor husband's untimely demise? Times have turned from bad to worse.
Yeah, he ran the best darn honky-tonk in Houston. Widow, let's hoist one for Big Willie.
No, thank you, Doc. And don't say anything, Jimmy. I never partake of such manly pursuits.
Well, in that case, I'll drink one to Big Willie himself. Tell me, Widow, how'd he check out anyway?
Check out?
I mean, how'd he expire?
Oh, well, he went to make a deposit at the bank on Friday afternoon. They found him in the vault on Monday morning, stiff as a $20 gold piece.
At least old Willy Wally Doodle was in the money when he croaked.
Oh,
shut up, you old coot. Can't you see the widow's still grieving?
Well, excuse me.
The only thing Willy left me was this saloon, but I know nothing of such entrepreneurial endeavors.
What about your manager over there, old, what's her name?
Oh, Miss Lotta Bazooms has been a blessing. She started working here right after the accident and with no compensation.
That's mighty generous.
She told me she would receive her pay in heaven someday.
Yeah, she looks like a real saint.
Since I hired Miss Bazooms, business has been excellent, but every day we lose money, it just seems to disappear.
How you been paying the bills, Widow?
That's my dilemma, Doc. I'm already 2 months behind on the mortgage. Mr. Pinchpenny from the bank is coming over today to discuss the matter.
Pinchpenny? Why, he owns the First American National Guarantee State Bank. They call it FANGS for short. I hear tell he gets awful nasty when people owe him money.
Well, then, I'll have to throw myself on his mercy.
You might as well throw yourself on a mound of fire ants.
Oh, woe is me.
Well, look at it this way, Widow. At least things can't get any worse.
Greetings from the folks at the Friendly First.
Hey, Pinch Benny, what you doing? What you been doing? Throwing banana peels around the old folks' home?
The name is Pinch Penny, you old buzzard. As I recall, geezer, your payment on that burrow outside is 2 days late. You better have some respect for Houston's leading citizen, or I'll have the repo man down here in 5 minutes.
Anything I can do for you, Mr. Big Shot Banker?
Why, yes, my dear. I'll have a double bourbon. Time to go to work. I trust our little arrangement is still working out.
No problemo, P.T. The old lady is flat busted. I've been stashing away all the dough that comes into this joint.
I must say, I do approve of the banking facilities. And now for my next victim. Good evening, Widow Wally Doodle. I assume you are prepared to discuss business. They're hiring down at Bentaub Hospital. Why don't you go see what's up, Doc? Now.
That's a good idea. I hear tell they need a good medicine man. I mean, a good man of medicine.
I see that old quack's been working on his favorite patient again, Jack Daniels. Tell me, Widow, how is the bistro business these days?
Oh, Mr. Pinchpenny, I hate to burden you with my troubles, but I'm afraid I can't make the mortgage payment again this month.
Times are hard all over, Widow. Why, my own bank is generating only a modest profit these days, with the prime rate down to 13%.
Well, then you can understand why I...
Nonsense. I'm used to making an obscene profit, among other obscenities. Therefore, I insist you remedy your defalcation within 24 hours, or else...
Or else?
I love this part. Or else Slick Willie's will be mine.
You can't do that to a poor defenseless widow.
I can and I will. Your late and stupid husband signed this note 5 years ago. Among other legalistic goodies, it calls for making timely payments, or else.
But you're the wealthiest man in Houston. Surely you can give me a little time.
You old fool. How do you think I got all my money? $1,000 within 24 hours, or you're out on the street.
How can he be so heartless and cruel? I thought bankers were men of compassion.
When it comes to money, old Pinchpenny, Lord, in a snake's belly and a wagon. I'm in a rut. And last week he evicted his own mother.
That's terrible.
Yeah, she's living under the Pierce Elevated Overpass now.
Oh, if only my sweet daughter Polly was here to console me in my hour of greatest need.
You got a daughter?
Oh, yes. She's attending the George Bush Charm School in Pasadena. My late husband did not want her raised in the evil ways of Houston. I had to write and tell her to come home. Our money is all gone.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a station break pretty quick.
So. George Bush, yeah. School of
I told you, you can change it to different things in Houston.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I assume we'll be back after the...
Yes, ma'am. Just a little 2 minutes.
Okay. Yep, and here we go.
Take the square root of 625 and you get 25. 25 is the number, as in the silver anniversary of the Watermelon Dance Summer Social. The Last Concert Cafe, located at 1403 Nance Street, is proud to present this KPFT benefit on July 30th, beginning at 5 o'clock. This year's lineup includes Lisa Novak, Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Richard Cagle and the Voodoo Choir, Zentropy, McAdams, Drum, Hightailers, Pot Roast, BMC, and at midnight, a special surprise. The admission fee is $15 for one. Bring a friend, receive a discount, $25 for two. Door proceeds benefit KPFT. For more information, dial 713-226-8563. See you on Saturday, July 30th. So don't think twice, just think silver. And remember, watermelon, the other red meat. 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Hi, I'm Joseph Mitchell from the Sharpstown High School Broadcaster Program. KPFT's own Pacifica Radio Archives is asking for KPFT listeners to help with an urgent preservation project. The archives are looking for copies of historical KPFT folio program guides.
The Fabulous Internet Archives have agreed to donate scanning and online access services to Pacifica, and now is our shot to save the KPFT history.
If you have folios, mail them here to the station. Drop them off or send them to the Pacifica Radio Archives in Los Angeles. Go to PacificaRadioArchives.org to get the address.
Soon, our history will be available for the world to access. I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharpstown High School Broadcasting Program.
This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to... Damn, taken down by chocolate. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at KPFT...
Almost got it.
I love it.
He can do all this with one breath.
KPFT.org. Now I'm going to say the seven things you can't say. See how quickly you can hit the damn button.
Hit that button.
Now back to Theater Suburbia. Hopefully they won't stutter.
Oh, stuttering is so much fun. But Chris, I've never heard you do it on that.
I can't believe that.
I can't either. Boy, two in one night. What a deal. Mm-hmm. That other PSA you played for KPFT for the Sharpstown High School?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful PSA, but the noise in it is obnoxious.
Yeah, I thought
it's
so too.
It's ear piercing.
Yeah.
Well, just it's not what I choose. It's what they tell me to play.
Yeah. I know, but it's for KPFT, so they need to tone that down a little bit. Because it's ear piercing.
Unless you're deaf.
Because it's a great message. It's a huge message.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we're talking archiving here. We're talking history.
I can play it again if you like.
Pass.
Oh, okay.
I still have an ear you haven't gotten yet. Okay, so we're back here with Theater Suburbia. We rudely cut them off for the moment.
Oh, that's okay.
We're back again.
Well, since the Masked Man did not come with us tonight, we're going to kind of read around him and his sidekick, Pronto. They've just come into the saloon, and he's going to entertain Miss Lotta. Keep an eye on her. Have at it, guys. Mm.
Chief. We ain't been properly introduced. Name's Lotta. Lotta Bazooms.
Good name for squaw who built like two brick teepees. Me been on trail many moons without seeing squaw like you. How you like to be faithful companion to Indian?
Tell me, Chief, what's that kemosabe mean?
Good medicine. Kemosabe, old Indian name for man who rides tall in saddle. It really means man with cactus in shorts.
Have you heard the news? The famous Masked Man is in town, and I'm going to get an exclusive interview.
Here comes bad news. Chief, meet Sally Scuttlebutt, junior reporter for the Houston Press.
Oh, gosh! I don't believe it! You must be,
Pronto, faithful Indian booby, buddy.
Oh, wow! Can I ask you a few questions, please?
Shoot.
First of all, why does the Masked Man wear that silly little mask? To conceal his true identity from transgressors of the law?
He was ugly papoose, so mother put mask on him. He wear one ever since.
Really?
Him so ugly that doctor slapped mother when he was born.
Now for the juicy stuff. Tell me about the ladies in his life.
Masked Man too busy fighting for truth and justice. Him only interested in lady horses.
That should make for some interesting reading. Tell me, Pronto, is there any truth to the rumor that he's hanging up his guns and settling down?
Well, well, look who's here. Scoop Scuttlebutt, cub reporter for the Houston Press Weekly Wipe. Why don't you take a swim in the bay with cement boots?
You don't scare me, Pinch Penny. I'm going to get you thrown off the city council when I expose your conflict of interest schemes.
Lies. All lies.
Do you deny that you own the property where the new city hall is going?
A mere coincidence. Why, that property belonged to my late wife. Before her accident, that is.
And do you deny that you're charging the city double what it's worth?
My broker, Rusty Harden, is handling all the details. Whoa. My hands are clean. Thanks a lot, Rusty.
And what about your recommendation for our new city manager, your friend, Mr. Willie Whiplash?
Mr. Whiplash is eminently qualified for the position.
But he's still in jail for sheep tickling?
Well, nobody's perfect.
Pinch Penny, you're a liar, a cheat, and a fraud, a terrible blight upon our sparkling city. Let's go, Pronto. We'll finish this interview outside.
The name is Pinch Penay. That wench is getting to be a real nuisance and way too honest for a reporter. Perhaps it's time for her to take a one-way buggy ride.
Don't laugh too loud. Did you see that engine standing here?
How could I miss him? Next thing you know, they'll let Aggies in here.
His name is Pronto. Plays second banana to the Masked Man.
Masked Man? Masked Man, that sounds familiar. Ah, yes, I conducted some business with him about 10 years ago, up in Fargo.
What kind of business?
A stroke of genius. I offered him a phony deal, and the gullible klutz bought the whole package.
Well, that klutz was just in here, and I think he remembers your little business transaction.
No concern, my dear. In the past 10 years, I've become a virtual pillar of the community.
Yeah, people around here think you're the salt of the sea.
Enough of this chit-chat. Where have you hidden the cash from this bucket shop?
Right here. It's the last place anyone would look.
Ah, sweet, sweet money. Just the aroma of it drives me insane.
Hold on there, partner. This is a 50-50 cash split, remember? You get the real estate, I get the cash.
Why, Lotta, do I detect a note of dubiosity? You know you can trust me. The female of the species is so gullible.
P.T., I trust you about as far as I can throw you.
Lotta, my dear, why are we bickering like children? When this is all over, we will be married and you will live in royal splendor. Or even Galena Park. You're still the most beautiful woman in Texas and I love you madly. Madly with all of my heart.
Oh, P.T., that's the nicest thing you ever said. How could I ever doubt you?
Thank you. Let's switch over to page 11, and down at the bottom, let's read when Polly comes in and P.T. tries to smooze her, I guess you could say, in a nice way.
Excuse me, I seem to have left my valise here.
Who is that ravishing young creature? Don't just stand there, Ninny. Introduce me.
Polly Wally Doodle, this here is Mr. Pinch Panay, your mother's friendly banker.
My, you're the prettiest thing this town has seen in years.
Stand back, sir. I have heard of your nefarious deeds, and I abhor your actions against my poor widowed mother.
But she'll love my action with her. Polly, my dear, don't believe everything you hear. I admit that on occasion I'm compelled to display a business-like exterior, but inside I'm a man of sensitivity and compassion.
I hope you folks brought shovels tonight.
Miss Bazooms will be most happy to take your bag over to the hotel, won't you, Miss Bazooms?
Remember your promise, Mr. Pinch Panay.
Trust me, dear, trust me.
I was led to believe that you were demanding the back payments on Slick Willie's and that
Tut, my dear, those are technical matters that need not concern you. Do you really think I could deprive your mother of her only source of income?
But mother said...
I'm sure she's just distraught over the passing of your father, a man for whom I had the greatest admiration.
He died in your bank vault.
Yes, a most unfortunate incident.
But what about the mortgage payments, Mr. Pinchpenny?
That's Pinchpenny, my dear. And now for the ultimatum. I think I might just forget those back payments, providing other arrangements can be made.
Other arrangements? I don't understand.
Allow me to explain. I have a little place north, a cabin tucked away among the piney woods on the shores of beautiful Lake Livingston.
That sounds wonderful.
How would you like to spend a weekend there?
A weekend? For what purpose?
Well, it won't be for fishing. A weekend in the country to relax and forget all your troubles.
Your generosity is overwhelming. I'm sure Mother and I could use the rest.
The cabin's only big enough for two, and I wasn't thinking about inviting your mother.
Is he thinking what I think he's thinking?
Yes.
Do you mean just you and I?
That's right.
Would go to your cabin?
Precisely, my dear.
And together we would...
Bingo!
Mr. Pinchpenny, control yourself. I am a chaste woman.
Well, then consider yourself caught. Either you and I have our little rendezvous, or your sweet mama is out on the street.
You are a heartless villain. How can I make such a choice? My mother or my virtue?
Well, perhaps we should get a second opinion. Who wants to see her mother thrown out on the street?
No.
Who wants to see Polly lose her virtue? It's up to you, my dear. Make your decision by noon tomorrow.
But I was saving myself for the masked man. I must tell him of my peril.
Oh, that blasted masked man is becoming a real pest. Only one way to get rid of a pest. Hire an exterminator.
Okay. let's switch over to page 18. And the middle of the page, Corona, where you say, Mr. Pinchmanet, there's some girl out here to see you.
Oh, Corona is here?
She's going to get to say a few words. That way Bunyan gets to read.
Wait a minute, where?
Sure, we want that to happen.
Mr. Pinchmanet, there's some girl out here to see you.
Who is it?
Says her name is Wally, Polly, Rolly.
Never mind, send her in.
Come on in.
Ah, Miss Polly, you are the picture of innocence and purity. May I offer you a little libation?
No, thank you. These lips have never touched the spirits of the devil.
Of course not. I only keep it myself for medicinal purposes.
Mr. Pinchpenny, I came here to plead for my mother one last time. Just please give us a few more days to raise the money.
I love it when they grovel at my feet. Cut the dramatics, Polly. Just tell me your decision.
Do you mean there is no way to save my mother unless I spend a weekend with you at Lake Livingston?
That's right, my dear.
Well, in that case...
I'm waiting.
My answer is...
Yes.
No. 1,000 times no. And when I tell the masked man, he'll know how to deal with you.
That young lady was a very stupid decision.
Why, Mr. Pinchpenny, that's a revolver in your hand.
Good guess, Bright Eyes. Now I plan to make you change your mind about our arrangement.
Say, P.T., I was just thinking. Good golly, Miss Polly. What's going on here?
Chief Bunyan, arrest this villainess. She barged in here and pulled this gun from her purse.
No, he's lying.
She threatened to shoot if I didn't release her mother from the mortgage. You arrived in the nick of time.
I did? Well, golly.
Yes, Chief. You just saved the life of Houston's most admired citizen.
Who's that?
Me, you dolt.
I have never seen that gun before. I don't even know how to use it. Furthermore...
Calm down, Miss Polly. First I have to check out this here evidence. I don't even know if this sucker's loaded.
Bang!
You imbecile. Take her away and lock her up.
Surely you don't believe I could commit such a heinous crime.
Oh, save it for the judge, Miss Polly. By the way, what's a hyenas?
What's a hyenas? Cat, I'm surrounded by nincompoops. That damsel will change her mind after a few hours in the slammer. And if she doesn't, I may have to be a little more direct. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay, we got one more little scene where Mr. Pinchpenny has hired a hired gunslinger. Oh. On page 24. And I can't hum the music for the kid when he comes in. So.
It sort of goes like this, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's Clint Eastwood, whatever.
Okay, go for it.
Kid, my name is Pinchpenny. This is Lotta Bazooms. Why don't you have a seat?
Man in my business never sits. Too dangerous.
Well, then, can I offer you some refreshment?
Man in my business never drinks. Too dangerous.
What does a man in your business do?
Shoot people who ask too many questions.
I see. Well, perhaps we should get down to business. I have a little problem here in town, and I was wondering if...
Who's the problem?
Well, I like a man who gets right to the point. Actually, there's two problems. One is a meddlesome reporter named Sally Scuttlebutt.
Gonna cost you double.
Double?
Cost double to shoot a woman. Who's the other problem?
I think I spoke too soon. Just a fellow from North Dakota. I believe he calls himself the...
Masked Man? That's triple.
Triple?
Union scale for killing a living legend.
What union?
UGSA. United Gunslingers of America.
That's ridiculous. Why would a hired gun join a union?
Good dental plan.
I did speak too soon.
How are you going to get the masked man into a gunfight? He done hung up his guns.
Nobody hangs up their guns when they face the Magnolia, kid.
What's this problem-solving gonna cost me?
Let's see. One double base rate for the girl, plus one triple. Then there's hotel, meals, mileage, and miscellaneous out-of-pocket expenses. I'd say about $2,000.
$2,000? What about the group plan?
Only applies during the off-season.
This guy should be in the banking business. That fee is outrageous.
It's up to you, mister. Are you the do-it-yourself type?
Okay, okay, you win. Here's $1,000 now and the balance when the job is complete.
Cash in advance! There's only two kinds of people I don't trust. Bankers and politicians. You happen to be both.
Well, how do I know you will honor your end of the deal?
Trust me, Mr. Pinch Pockets. Trust me.
Them words sound awful familiar.
Kid, when will you take care of this business?
Tonight at Slick Willie's. The masked man gets it first, then the little lady.
Lotta, why don't you show our business associate to the hotel? Perhaps he wants to rest up for tonight.
Men in my business never rest.
I know, kid. Too dangerous.
Ah, yes. Things are beginning to fall into place. In a few short hours, I'll be the proud owner of Slick Willie's, lover to Miss Polly, and permanently rid of the masked man. Whoever said the meek shall inherit the earth.
So you sort of get an idea of what's going on.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got 5 more weekends to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll make it one of those.
You know I will.
Mm-hmm. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Anyway, 713-682-3525. 24-hour answering service. And check out our website, theatersuburbia.org.
Theatra Suburbia.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yes.
You English people, what can I say? Anyway, and as usual, we still have the 2-for-1 KPFT special.
Mm.
Tell us you heard us on KPFT and you get a ticket, 2 tickets for the price of 1.
Great.
And our ticket prices are very reasonable.
They are.
$14 for adults on Friday and Saturday, $13 for seniors and students, and $12 for everybody on Sunday.
Wow.
So you can't beat prices like that.
You can't.
And
you can't.
We even let you sing along during the oleos and at intermission.
Oh, I remember that.
You get to
sing
such lovely songs like Polly Wally Doodle, Coming Round the Mountain.
Oh, yes. I mean,
you know, good old fun times.
Yeah.
Because there's a downside to that.
What?
You get to listen to Glenn sing, too.
Oh!
Well, Glenn, well, yeah, you know, we always have to let him
Jimmy,
sing.
Jimmy, I wanted to do a dancing number this year and have you, you know, come out of the audience and join me.
Oh, that would be great.
Doris put that out of...
Why?
Oh, because he didn't have any tap shoes.
That's because he wanted to do a strip show.
That's not true.
It was going to do a stripping thing. And we
That's not true, Jimmy.
No, Dan doesn't.
Okay, guys, okay. Calm down.
I wouldn't have done it without the stripping anyway.
Have I forgotten anything?
And then no,
I heard
you're
you earlier talking
C3.
About your auditions tomorrow.
Yes, I did.
And we do start our new season after the melodrama in September. We'll start our 51st season.
Mm.
I have to admit
so at the end of the melodrama, we have done 50 years of live theater.
Imagine that. That's amazing.
50 years. And I've been there almost that long.
As a 501c3.
Started when I was 5 years old.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
Anyway, we would love to have anybody that can come out. It's a great show for the family. Kids, they love to boo and hiss the villain and throw popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally he can coerce one of them to get in his autograph or taking a picture with him.
Oh.
If he doesn't scare him to death.
He has any $5 bills in his pocket to offer.
Yeah, offer him money, yeah. Anyway, it's a fun show. It's cute.
It is. Melodramas are always great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Theater.
Okay.
We love you guys.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
That was fun.
That was fun. Can we go to a piece of music? And
maybe. What's it to you?
We're going to be like that, huh?
Well, yeah, I think we got a piece of music, and then I think we got another theater group
I believe
to come
we
visit
do.
With us. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes or so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with my headphones again. Yeah, come here. All right, we are back on After Hours. That was Frustrated Housewives, right?
Yes, Boys Like Me.
Boys Like Me.
I was jamming.
A little different hearing. We like to play the cover songs, different songs like that. You know, a guy's group singing Boys Like Me is different. You want to hear it when we play, like, Natural Woman by Men, when men are singing it.
I kind of want to hear that. I'm not going to lie.
Your request is my doing.
Yes.
My God, he actually pays attention. All right, we have with us here...
Kiss my...
Mark the spot, you're all... You can say ass. We are here...
I had to turn around and get the CD.
Is he going to play it for me?
Well, probably on the... That'll be the outro music.
Yeah.
Nice.
We are here with part of the cast from Stage Door Inc.'s group of... from Rent. It's going to be a little different in here because we have no Mark. And thank God they didn't bring Dirty Sanchez. I'm sorry, Dorita Sanchez.
No Brian
Sanchez. So no one will be talking like this during this number.
He really does that. It's hilarious.
Yeah. We don't miss that. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
I didn't hear anything. It's our little secret.
So here we have some of the cast from Rent. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Autumn Clack.
And who are you playing?
I'm understudying Mimi in Ensemble.
My name is Jason Swafford. I'm playing Benny as well as Colin's understudy.
I'm Brian Burley. I play Mark.
And I'm Alex Musgrove, and I play Maureen.
Yes, the other Mark is not here. He's a little under the weather, and the rest of the group that comes with him. So... as we said, this is a Stage Door Inc. They are down in the Pasadena Town Square Center. Mm-hmm. Performances are Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. What?
Yeah. No, I was agreeing.
Yep. Yeah, it screwed me up the one time when I tried to go into one of the children's shows with my niece, and I thought it was 3 p.m. on Saturday, and it's only 1 p.m.
Yeah, I have no idea what time their shows are.
Yeah. I peeked the curtain and see them having cake. but we've... So how many of you, this is your first time on the radio? How many? You were the radio virgin.
I'm a radio virgin. I've been on the radio.
Put a big V.
Our show?
No, not your show.
Okay, fine. Well, things we do differently with Stage Doors. I want to find out why community theater and why Stage Door?
Definitely community theater in Houston. We have a unique situation because we've got such a great theater scene. So much of that is made up of community theater. And it's great to go out and see it because you get a more affordable ticket price than you would at some of the bigger theaters. And you get to see a lot of great talent in Houston and get to experience that. And there's just a lot of diversity at the community theaters here. And why Stage Door? Stage Door is doing just does a lot of great shows. They take a lot of risks that other theaters don't do or don't often do. And they're not afraid to go there and do shows that aren't necessarily seen to be the money shows and the shows that everybody does all the time. So you're always going to get something different and something that's growing and evolving when you go to Stage Door.
So why community theater? Yeah. I just like the idea that people aren't getting paid for it. Like, we're coming together just because we love the craft. So it's the idea that we like what we're doing, we enjoy each other's company, and we work on the show to try and get it to where it needs to be just because we love what we do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Usually in the back you hear someone go, good answer.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Now, the interesting part we've got with this cast here is, Brian, this is the second time you've been on the show to promote Rent.
Rent, right.
You were with a different theater last year putting this production on.
Right.
And there you were just one of the kind of the background players. This time you're taking one of the lead roles.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I was very excited about that. And this is actually my dream role in my dream show. So I was very excited that Mark cast me as his part. I feel like I kind of am like the character that I play.
Dumped by a lesbian?
On Wednesdays, maybe.
Ah.
Well,
yes.
Because I tend to shy away from people sometimes, so I feel like that's why I'm kind of like my character. And I feel I just really love the music choices. I love the musical itself, and I love the music, and I feel like it really shows off my voice. So I was really excited to get this part.
Okay. And this is your second time with Stage Door, right?
Yes. I was in Noises Off, which just finished a few weeks ago, and now this is my second show with Stage Door.
Second show. Sean Connery, stop it.
It's funny you say that, with watching Noises Off, I kept looking at him trying to go, is that really supposed to be the Christopher Reeve character?
No, it was John Ritter.
Oh, John Ritter.
Yeah, I was Gary.
I thought it was Christopher Reeve in that fly.
No,
in
that was Justin.
Justin was playing the... Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. Like usual.
I'm not upset.
Wow.
And, of course, Wes just right now is saying, yeah, of course he's wrong.
No, I'm trying to put together something for you.
Oh. So, the play just opened up yesterday, mm-hmm. and I heard got standing ovations from...
Yes.
From the cast, from the audience. Mm-hmm. And you already have one show that's sold out, so there's a special show you all are doing?
It was a purchased night, so that particular night is not available to open audiences. So we opened an extra night Thursday, August...
11th. August 12th is not really available to the public. I think it was at one point, but no longer anymore. The tickets are sold out for that show. So the director decided to add another performance. That way we could have a full run for the public. So we open up a show August 11th on a Thursday. I believe that the curtain will go up at 8 o'clock, like mm-hmm. the Friday and Saturday shows.
Yes.
That's good to hear, because I've gone to a lot of performances there, and, you know, sometimes you get in there with a full crowd. Sometimes it's like you're sitting there going, okay, does anybody know that they're here? And, you know, we're watching the people go through the mall going, oh, what's this? What's this? Oh, theater. No, not for me.
They came to get a shirt, not a show.
There's plenty of those, or shoes. That mall.
Plaza de Zapatos.
That mall.
Also, now you're have auditions coming up for the next performance?
Yes. This Sunday and Monday night at 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., we have auditions for Rocky Horror Picture Show. So it's not a shadow cast. It's full-on stage production of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Auditions this Sunday and Monday, 7 to 10 p.m.
And I saw it when they came. Did it 2 years ago, and it was incredible. I got a feeling you're probably not going to have the same Rocky, because I think he's moved to Dallas. But, you know, that Rocky was in the heels, 7 foot tall. I mean, yes. Frank.
Yeah, no, he was 6'9" in 5-inch heels. He was, 7'4". It was ridiculous.
Do the math, Jason.
Whatever. plus, that doesn't matter. Plus, he was a yoga instructor, and I've been told he did an entire song with his legs behind his head.
Wow.
That's hot.
That wasn't the episode I saw.
When was this?
I'm glad he's not there, because
this was 2 years ago.
But,
dang.
Yeah. Missed no, out. They do a fantastic version of that show.
He was the one who looked at Jonathan when Jonathan in heels, and they looked eye to eye.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
We have a part where someone on our show that also has similar shoes to that and is a similar height. Nice. And he went with me to the Rocky performance, and he was technically a Rocky virgin, so we went down for the... Devirginizing.
Nice.
And Mark did the girl that came up, and this short girl, I forget who it was trying to do Jonathan, and he wasn't going to bend down for her to get it, so she's trying to jump up there to get the to put the Rocky mark on his head, and Mark turned around, saw who it was, and yelled back, hey Frank, we got some competition for you, and he poked his head out and goes, oh hell no. I think Jonathan's wanting to come down to that one as well. So we've got something else y'all had.
Out at SDI.
Yes, we're having a special event out at SDI. It's open to all of the GLPT community. Saturday, August 6th at 7 p.m. is going to be the beginning of the event. There's going to be wine and
food,
yes. Cheese tray, I think. So come down at 7 for snacks and then stay for the show afterwards.
It'll
starts
be
at 8.
A little pre-show get-together.
Yes, it's going to be very nice.
Shindig,
nice
gathering.
Wine and beer.
That's what I was saying. You just have your choice to promote that. Wine and beer.
Wine and beer. And
do you get cheese with that wine?
And yes. 13 orders of fries.
Cheese is
nice. We really should have fries. That would be fantastic.
That would be great. And meatless balls. Definitely. Yo. It tastes the same.
Every night.
If you close your eyes.
Okay, I know the lyrics too well.
Yeah, so do we.
There's nothing saying is knowing the lyrics too well.
It's not like we're in the show or anything.
I knew it before then, though.
I did it just from buying the CD and listening to it over and over and over again.
Song.
It's like,
right.
So.
Smart. Colt 45.
Oh, yes. We are also accepting donations for Colt 45 of Houston, which are, it's a group that... They make a one-time payment to people with AIDS who can't pay their bills.
Yeah,
they do the one-time payment thing to help them get on their feet, and so we're also accepting donations for that. So if you'd like to stop by and get a donation, we're accepting donations for that as well.
If you want to find more about the Colt 45s, you can go to their website, colt45s.org, and hopefully they'll be on the show here in 2 weeks.
Nice.
They're here the first. We would do a quickie segment, and they're one of the community organizations that we have on the first Saturday night of the month.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we do that. We have those quite a bit. So, like, starting the show tonight, we had the Rhesus Corp on. That's why we're pushing back a little bit later than we usually do. So, once again, Stage Door Inc. is performing Rent Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. For more information, it's stagedoorinc.com or...
832-582-7606.
And you can make your reservations either way on there. Probably a good idea to get reservations.
Definitely. The show is filling out pretty fast.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to get with Jimmy. I think Jimmy wanted to go down there, and since you are outside the loop, it's outside of his comfort zone, so he needs a Sherpa, a guide, a sandwich, and a bottle of...
And an oxygen tank.
And a bottle of Montrose Air to take with him. it's Pasadena. Sometimes you need your own oxygen anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Ooh, that's true. Huh? Ooh.
Oh, come on. So, if you are interested in being a part of the production of Rocky Horror, you can go to the website, find more information. They're doing auditions tomorrow night and Monday night. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I teased them earlier. I was going to audition for Rocky. Maybe I'll do Frankenfurter.
I'd like to see you in some gold shorts. I'm not going to lie.
How you do, Wes? I see you've met mine.
I think it's time for a piece of music.
Yay!
Anything else from Stage Door?
Just definitely come down and see the show. It's one of the better productions.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal. It's a great show.
Cast is phenomenal. There's so much talent, and there was so much hard work put into this show.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Definitely all three.
All three, definitely. All three. Definitely come down. If you're a Rent head, we'll hope that we do the show justice. I'm pretty sure we did. If you're not, we'll be happy to make you one. Mm-hmm. So definitely come see our show.
All right. And by request, since we teased about doing cover songs by opposite genders, I guess this is Natural Woman by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. And
oh, I love that band.
We'll be back with Gigi in a bit.
You make me feel. You make me feel.
in high school, I never stood out. A Baton Rouge kid, another face in the crowd. I have big dreams to be a rock star. I tell myself someday they'll know who you are. Cause everybody's gotta start somewhere. And if you strike the match, then someday you'll get there. Yeah. Cause from the ashes you can start again. I changed my name and made some brand new friends. Someday I know they will remember me. And wonder how my life came to be. Yeah.
Take it from the ashes. It's time to start your new life. Take it from the ashes. Go ahead and find the old advice. Take it from the ashes. When you've been caged back down. Take it from the ashes. Just pick yourself up off the ground.
Fast forward to the present day. Flying back and forth from H-Town to L.A. Now I'm more than just a face in your crowd. A radio revolution with the new day sound. Cause everybody has to start somewhere. Just strike the match and someday you'll get there. Yeah. Cause from the ashes you can start again. Change your name and make some brand new friends. Someday I know they will remember you and wonder how they can get there too. Yeah.
Take it from the ashes. It's time to start your new life. Take it from the ashes. Go ahead and find the gold advice. Take it from the ashes. When you've been caged back down. Take it from the ashes. Just pick yourself up.
I love the B-52s. And what were they playing?
Which time? The first time or the second time?
Both times. Let's hear all that
well,
we heard.
Well, I did quite a bit here.
Hold you sure there. Did.
We started off that set with me first, and the Gimme Gimme is doing Natural Woman, which was a request from the last group.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Let's see here. What did I do next? Oh, yeah, I did Keep This Party Going with the B-52s.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, I put Jay Arsenault, Take It From the Ashes. And let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that was it. Was. Okay, yeah. And then we came back with Pump by the B-52s.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now we walk in here.
And now we have Gigi.
Oh, yes.
I'm Jimmy Carper. This is After Hours, and Gigi is here with us tonight.
Yeah.
To talk about Radical Fairies and all the kind of fringe stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And you got 5 minutes.
And I know. We're just doing an introduction here because we have, at the top of the hour, we have PSAs to play.
Oh, yes. And got back from Colorado.
Oh, yes. You were in Colorado for a few weeks.
Yeah, for about 3.5 weeks.
Nice.
And then... of course, before that, I went to Flipside.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun.
Now you're looking for another one.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to, you know, there's been more activity on the Radical Fairy list.
There has been.
Hoping that we can get things moving on that and start getting some functions going on.
That would be great.
Yeah. Because it's been way too long since the Radical Fairies has been active.
I know.
And I miss it. It's such a fun group.
They are. I've never been to a big event.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. I mean, we'll go into it in a lot of detail. But we do a lot of stuff when we have the campouts. And they get very campy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the time to let loose and just... look at, explore your other side.
Oh, yes. Let your hair down.
Yeah.
Dance naked around the fire.
There you go.
Do all kinds
of funny clothes. And
oh, yes. Drag shows.
Yes.
You name it.
The No Talent drag show?
Yeah. Well, it's the No Talent show, but some people do drag. Some people do write poetry.
Oh.
Some people play music.
Really?
But it's got to be non-talented stuff.
Well, that'd be just about anything for me.
Yeah, I do. They kicked me out last time because I was too talented.
Oh, you're kidding. What did you do?
I did some poetry.
Oh.
But it was good poetry.
See?
So
they booed you off the stage
because
you
were
too good.
Too good.
No. Oh, they really want the bad stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we had one radical fairy that got up and sang Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Oh, I love that.
With backup singers, and he screeched it out. I mean, it was wicked bad. Everybody was...
Oh, he used his own voice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He goes... Ain't no mountain high.
Oh.
Yeah, just, and then.
Yeah.
It was.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it is.
And then just dancing naked around the campfire.
Fire and drumming, and we do heart circles and different rituals and workshops.
Yeah.
That are quite a wide variety of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a lot of fun.
I see.
One of the workshops I've done in the past is learning Taoist techniques for male masturbation.
Yes. Now, that's a place where you can do that.
Oh, yes. And then we do, but it's also has a spiritual component.
Yes, it does.
Some radical fairies are into the pagan, some are into... other forms of spirituality, but it's very loose-based. It's spirituality and getting connected with one another.
And that's the problem of getting them organized, because it's a non-organized group, and they don't want to be organized.
Oh, yeah.
And so they fight against it. But doing that, it gets hard to put anything together.
Oh, yeah. So it's... And for a while, we were doing quite a few outings.
Mm-hmm.
one in the spring and one in the fall.
Oh, really?
But that's been a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, with the Houston group, it comes and goes. It's had several rebirths.
Oh, yes. Well, you but know, any group is that way, yeah.
But this one's definitely...
Yeah, sure, it is. But there's been a new person on the Yahoo list.
Yeah.
Who's been putting out some great stuff.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to read it real thoroughly, mm-hmm. so I'm not sure what all he's been putting out. Mm. But, you know, just getting back and with my hard drive crash, so... getting caught up on email has been quite a bit.
Okay.
It looks like we're here.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program. KPFT has just launched a new paperless system at kpft.org. Now, you can submit public service announcements, open journal proposals, and more through the station website, kpft.org. Going paperless is better for the environment and means your submissions arrive faster to KPFT offices. Do you have a nonprofit community event to promote? Do you have an idea for a program or want to host an open journal? Then visit kpft.org now to submit your application. While there, you can make a pledge online and support the great programming you love. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston. Listeners love KPFT and its programming. Pledge drives, not so much. So this summer, KPFT invites you to participate in a bold experiment and join the 10% of KPFT listeners who donate monthly to KPFT.
Visit kpft.org today, click the Every Member Sustainer button, and do your part to increase that 10% of listeners sustaining to 100%.
With greater sustainer support, KPFT can give you more of the great programming you love. Sustaining members make KPFT's future income predictable and steady, providing the fiscal stability KPFT needs to have fewer pledge drive days.
$5, $10, $15, or $20 a month from you makes all the difference. So visit kpft.org, click the Every Member Sustainer button, and become a sustainer of KPFT quickly and securely online.
You'll also be able to make sure your online donation goes to the credit of your favorite show, and you can pick out a thank you gift too.
Every Member Sustainer, join the club now at kpft.org. I'm Gloria Johnson.
And I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program.
This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville. And as always, www.kpft.org. And that's correct. I can't do it like Chris does in one breath.
I know.
So.
I know.
Back to Jimmy and Gigi.
Yes.
But you do it very well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, a little more practice and I'll have it down.
Okay. Yes. We're talking about Radical Fairy
stuff.
Oh, yes. And outings.
Yeah.
For the group. And anyone else who wants to, you know, let their hair down or, you know, explore their other side or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because
people can come and just be a part of it.
Yeah.
In the past, we've...
You don't have to get naked.
Yeah, you don't have to. That's
no.
not... It's clothing optional.
Yes. Yes.
And if anybody's interested in joining, let's see, we're looking at
Houston. Let's see, where is it?
We're looking up the address for if you want to join the Houston group.
Houston Fairy Circle. And that would be FAERIE, Houston Fairy Circle, at yahoo.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just sign in.
Sign in.
To join. And
There's not a whole lot of emails. You're not going to get inundated.
No. I mean.
Maybe one or two a day.
If that much.
If that much. Yeah. Thank you, Wes. He looked it up for us.
Ah, yes.
Computers.
It's also all about learning about gay heritage.
Yes, there's a lot of that, isn't there?
And
yeah.
some
Harry Hay and Rudy Gernreich, and
yeah, and some of the, you know, the Radical Fairies have many traditions that we bring out at these functions.
Oh yes.
In fact, if it's warm enough, I'll set up the above the ground pool.
Ooh.
And we have cocktails in the heat of the day.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
With Cabana Boys serving us.
Of course.
And you can be a Cabana Boy if you're into the service thing. And then we do things like, well, we mentioned the non-talent show.
Yes.
It can be such a hoot. I mean, people just get up and do whatever.
Oh.
And it's amazing some of the things people come up with. And then the heart circles is one of the things I really like.
It's, now, explain that to me.
Basically, it's when you're in a heart circle, you want to be fully present and listening and to whoever's speaking. It's not a dialogue back and forth or a conversation. And basically, we pick a subject or some pressing issue that's going on with the group, and we speak from the heart. And it's a bonding kind of ritual. It may be on anything from what is it to coming out of the closet or any kind of subject around gay issues.
Oh.
So it's...
Is there a...
And it's a good way to...
hold hands or something?
Well, we sit in a circle.
Okay.
Often we'll hug and be very close.
Yeah.
And we deal with whatever's going on with people.
Wow.
And it gets very intense.
I can imagine. You know, because people have differing opinions. And
yeah. But it also helps build bonds between people. And build connections between people. And it's a celebration of being either gay or bisexual male.
Do you ever have straight guys
involved? No. We've had some women come, actually, in the past.
Really?
Yeah. It's open to women that want to come and be a part of male energy, as long as they're respectful.
Yeah.
And of the male... dynamic.
And all that we do,
yes. But we do get a few that have come and been a part of it and really enjoyed kind of getting into the male thing.
Yes.
Being butch.
Well.
Well, the girls can be butch. Be one of the guys.
That's the thing. It's not about being feminine or it's not being a girl or being a guy. It's just letting go of your emotions.
And we all have a kind of male energy and a female energy.
We do.
And this is a time for people to come and
I would think this would be perfect for straight guys to be able to let their hair down.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to participate in everything, but hey.
And then we do rituals, at least one kind of main ritual on Saturday night, usually. And basically, it can vary from anything from, one time we did a stag hunt.
Oh.
And... you could either be a stag or a hunter.
Oh.
And we separate the groups, and I give instructions and to both the stags and to the hunters. Mm-hmm. We split the groups up, and the stags get in touch with their animalistic side.
Oh.
And they have to go out and mark their territory and... we set up a parameter.
Yeah.
And then the hunters do a hunting dance around the fire, naked.
Oh.
If they want to. They can be in outfits, but something that's kind of gets into the tribal spirit.
Yes,
gets into that kind of primal lust of the hunt.
Oh. And do they actually do any hunting?
Oh, yes.
And how does that work?
It's basically no flashlights are allowed, and we only do this during a full moon so people can see. But basically, we bring the stags into the circle before the hunt begins, and let the hunters and the stags kind of face off each other across the campfire, which can really build the tension.
Sure.
And then we release the stags back to the wild, and then the hunt begins 10 minutes after that.
Okay.
And basically, you just go and grab a stag and bring him back.
Oh, okay. So it's a hands-on deal.
Yes.
Oh.
And then after the hunt, the stags have to provide negotiated favors to the hunter that caught them for release. So it's quite a powerful ritual.
Yes.
And people that have done it said, you know, I've talked to stags and hunters alike. They said, you know, it's amazing how much this ritual tapped into something deep and primitive within. And the hunter, I mean, the stags often would report that, well, my sense of hearing improved, my sense of night vision improved, and I got this sense of being an animal in the wild.
Wow.
And it's very powerful. And the hunters, you know, felt like ancient tribesmen going out for to take care of their tribe.
Wow.
So it's a very powerful ritual.
That sounds like
fun. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? So we do fun rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't, you know, radical fairies never get too serious.
No, you're right.
And we try to keep it campy
mm-hmm.
and fun and light. And
anything with a boa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And people bring all kinds of outfits.
I'll bet they do.
Not just for the drag show, but for the whole camp out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know one guy that brought a second tent just to store all his outfits.
You're kidding!
No. He was changing about every 2 hours.
Oh! And well, that's what he wanted to get into.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, prancing around in some of the most gorgeous outfits, running through the woods in this, you know, formal dress.
Oh, no kidding.
And one person decided he wanted to do bar service.
Uh-huh.
And so he made cocktails for everybody.
Oh.
And brought them on a tray and served everybody in the nude.
Ooh.
And he was kind of standing up when he was doing this.
Oh, I see.
He was getting so
he was
into
very
it.
Into it, huh?
Oh, yes. So it's anything male and kind of that getting in touch with that primal side of the male.
Or it's some special kink that you...
Or some special kink.
Yeah.
We do get some people into... Some BDSM, we do have
sure.
a few leather fairies. I'm definitely one.
You, yes. You are so the you are the queen, a leather fairy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've seen some of the outfits that you've made.
Oh, yeah.
Leather work, and it's just amazing, the engineering
of
some of your outfits.
Not only that, but I combine leather and lace. So
yes,
you do. Wear the red fishnets or black fishnets.
Mm-hmm.
Combat boots.
Yes.
And then this leather top with my nipples sticking through.
Yes. Well, hello.
And then a little skirt that has Tinkerbells all around.
Mm-hmm.
Except it doesn't cover my front. So, so I'm wiggling all over
the place. So, you see, that would just be a fun weekend, no matter who you are.
Oh, yeah. And part of it is just getting in touch with the gay heritage and just the male heritage. What is it, you know, and celebrating that spirit.
I've long known that gay males... are different than straight males in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still male.
Yeah. And there's
bi
males, too.
We just...
different camp.
There's more bi males than either one, either gay or straight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a wonderful opportunity to explore all these things that you've thought about, dreamed about, fantasized about.
Yeah.
It's a free, very freeing weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, Harry Hay, he started the Medicine Society.
Yes.
And then got kicked out. in
the 50s. Yes.
And got kicked out for being too radical.
Yeah.
And he's the one that started the Radical Fairies. Mm-hmm. And there's chapters all over the country.
And he was very specific about not being organized.
Oh, yeah. And also, but it was also, I think his vision was to celebrate male energy.
Yes.
You know.
However form it takes.
Whatever form it takes, and that, including sexual energy. Yeah.
If you wanted to wear jeans and a flannel shirt and be all butch, hey, yeah, that's part of it, too.
Or like not.
Paint
my nails and get out the chainsaw.
Yes.
Cut up the firewood. Kind of do this femme bitch thing.
I know. It's just, you're the most androgynous person I have ever met. Yeah. Because of that. Because you know how to use a chainsaw with red painted nails.
And not get a scratch on them.
Yes. And they're your real nails.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of the other things that we also do workshops
mm-hmm.
during the day. And they can vary from educational type stuff to anything from that to just doing kind of bonding rituals mm-hmm. or workshops where we kind of bond once. And it's kind of like in our society, we've kind of lost this sense of making transitions, like coming of age.
Oh, yes.
Or making a transition into another stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we'll do workshops or rituals if somebody wants to do a ritual around mm-hmm. making a life transition of some sort. And that can be a very powerful thing.
Yes. And it's just not coming of age, but I mean, there's going through middle age or older age or, you know, it just.
And even some of the younger ones that come, mm-hmm. we've had them as young as eight. You have to be 18 or over. Yeah. But some of the 18-year-olds wanted to do kind of a coming of age ritual.
Yeah, because we don't have that kind of stuff anymore. Yeah. 50 years ago, there was a lot of bonding because there's men went to the YMCA and mm-hmm. they swam nude.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was, you know, men were nude around each other a lot mm-hmm. and it was no big deal.
Yeah.
So that has changed, though. We've lost that.
Yeah.
And you look at all different kinds of tribes and peoples, they all have a coming of age. They all have bonding rituals, but we've lost it here.
And so part of, I think, the Radical Fairies is reclaiming some of those mm-hmm. ancient traditions mm-hmm. and putting them back into practice.
Yeah.
And it can be a very powerful thing. And coming at, you know, it's like, you don't have to be 18 to do a coming of age ritual.
Absolutely. Just like the Hatch Prom, you don't have to be a teenager to go. Yeah.
You know, because in our society, so many of us miss that.
Yes.
We can go back and reclaim it mm-hmm. and do it as a way to re-empower ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think part of what happens, at least for me, is it gives me validation in who and what I am.
Yeah, well, you know, there are no more closets you can come out of, so.
True.
So it's just a revalidation.
Oh, yes.
And that's important, too. It's, I've seen you in action.
Oh, yeah. And that can be so much fun.
Yes.
But it's also very healing, and we do a lot of healing work together mm-hmm. in the Radical Fairies, because we are a group that's kind of on the outer fringes.
Oh, sure.
And we don't fit into mainstream society.
Not in any way. You don't fit into gay society in some corners.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely am. I mean, I've been kicked out of gay bars, straight bars, even leather bars.
Oh, that's bad. Just being too androgynous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For being too androgynous.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, when you can join together and form bonds, and they are kind of tribal bonds, mm-hmm. You know, we've lost the sense of being a tribe in our culture.
You know,
we've got the gay community, but it's not really...
Not like it was before where we had our own, really had our own language that we could speak to another gay person in public and no one would know.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, but coming out of the closet is a wonderful thing. And we're so more free and so more accepted. It's better, but we've lost some things.
Yeah. And so I think part of it is reclaiming some of that bonding and that sense of being part of a tribe.
You bet.
Being part of something that's deeper than just a community out there.
And I can, even though I've not been to any of them, I can understand, I think, what you mean by that. Because I go to the PWA campouts.
Oh yeah,
and
I'm sure that a lot of the same principles happen.
Absolutely, it's such a freeing weekend, and I have seen grown men there on the first time, their first outing there. You know, the next day they're standing in the middle of the place, tears rolling down their face because they had no idea it would be
they
that
discovered
great.
Home.
Yes, yes,
and I. You know, I've got a story to tell. We had one radical fairy that was a little modest at first. And he would get up at like 4 in the morning to take a hot shower because he didn't want to be... Well, the showers we had back then was right by the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just an open shower anybody could see.
Okay, so he got up at 4 in the morning.
To take a shower so nobody would see him taking a shower.
Oh, my God. What was wrong with his body
The
image.
First morning.
Yeah.
And then by the pool party the next day, he got in the pool with his swimsuit on at first. And then he said, you know, it's time for this to go. He took it off.
Really?
And he said this was the most liberating experience for him. To shed that and just be free and natural and be in, you know, we're out in nature in this little pool that we set up. It's only about 3 feet deep. Just something to cool off in.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just said, this was such a liberating thing to be able to do that.
It is.
Because he had never been able to just... be nude with a group of men in that kind of situation. And it wasn't a sexual thing.
No, we're not talking about that.
It can be later.
It can be later, but nudity does not equal sex.
Yeah. And the rest of the weekend, he was running around naked the whole time. And just celebrating his body and nature.
Yes. And even my body, which has been... changed drastically because of HIV.
Yeah.
When I get up to the PWA camp out, I'm nude most of the time. I don't, you know, I don't care. I'm just, it's just that freeing feeling. Yeah. Yes.
And there's something to be said. I love the feeling of running through the woods naked, except for combat boots.
Well, of course.
You do want to keep boots on.
especially if it's the woods.
We have critters.
Fleas and ticks.
worse than that.
Oh, okay.
Scorpions. I've even seen, well, usually I'm the first one out there to set up.
So you see snakes?
So I see snakes, but by the time I've been out there for 2 days setting up, the snakes take off. they don't. But I know how to handle snakes. You know, I've dealt with them. So I used to actually work ranches.
That's right, you
in
did.
In my younger days.
Yes. And, yeah. Wow.
I've You've encountered all kinds of things like copperheads and rattlesnakes and you name it. I've seen them out there.
Yeah.
But I've learned how to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you don't surprise them,
Exactly. They don't want any trouble.
You poke that wood pile before you grab it.
Yeah.
So there are some safety things, but I go over that when people come in that aren't used to being in the woods. But it is.
That would be me.
Yeah. But that's what I love about it, because you are in nature. You feel the wind on your body, the sun on your body.
I know. It's an entirely different feeling, when you're at a campground and that's clothing optional and you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing like being nude in your home.
Yeah.
It's completely different because you are with nature.
Yeah. And the other powerful thing is when people bring their drums and we do a circle.
I've never experienced that.
Get that drumming going, and it's like all of a sudden people are up dancing around the fire. Ooh. And some people are drumming, and it's like amazing.
I know Jim Vaughn loved to drum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I go to the pagan gatherings, and they do a lot of drumming at those. And there's just something magical that happens when you hear the drumming.
Oh, yeah.
It's that heartbeat rhythm. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you start getting into that kind of a whole different state of consciousness from just the rhythm. It takes you places.
It does. It really does.
And I don't dance as much as I used to because of my bad knee.
I don't either.
But, I tell you, I used to really enjoy dancing around the fire to drumming.
But now you watch the younger ones.
Yes, now I watch the younger
and ones. Do a few rounds yourself.
Oh, I do what my knee can handle.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go very long.
That my neuropathy in the feet would kind of stop me, too.
Yeah. But part of, and I don't drum very good. Well, I'm an offbeat.
Oh.
When I try to drum, I miss everybody.
You can't stay with them.
Well, no, I just have my own rhythm.
Oh, okay.
But my rhythm throws off everybody else's rhythm. I'm an offbeat.
In every way.
So I don't, it's rare that I drum. If I do drum, I'll drum solo usually. And people like the drumming I do. It's just very different.
It's different.
It's syncopated.
Oh!
Kind of in weird ways.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really follow that heartbeat rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very different rhythm that I do.
Oh.
And it's not quite syncopated, but it's
close, huh?
Something kind of... It's weird. Or at least people say it's weird.
See, something else for me to experience.
Oh, yes. But I think there is a real... And the other power is either having sex or falling asleep while people are drumming.
Mm.
And some people stay up all night long. Well, usually I stay up till the wee hour. I've been known to see
that
the sun
me,
come up.
Yeah. That would be me.
And then crash around for a few hours in the early morning until it gets too hot. But there is something really amazing. It even affects my dreams to hear the drumming at night.
Really?
Yeah. And in the early wee hours of the morning, it just touches something very deep and primal within us. So it's an amazing experience.
Well, we need an outing like this.
Yes.
I want to experience this.
I'll see. If we can get enough interest, I'll put it together.
Houston Fairy Circle, F-A-E-R-I-E, Houston Fairy Circle at yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm. And sign up because, it looks like Radical Fairies has gone through many, many ups and downs in the Houston chapter.
Yeah.
And I remember back when Jeremy was running it.
Mm-hmm.
And even before Jeremy, there's a group. And unfortunately, the leader moved on, the previous one moved on, and it died for a while.
Yeah.
Then Jeremy picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died.
Yes.
Of a brain aneurysm.
That was horrible.
Oh, and it was so sad.
Yeah.
And then I guess it was about a year after that I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of running it ever since. Yeah. But
waiting for somebody else to pick it up, what?
No, I actually just... When it...
Excuse me.
You know, my philosophy is kind of... I guess it's kind of a radical fairy philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
If there's people that want to do something, I'll organize something. But I'm not going to organize something
and then nobody shows up.
Yeah, nobody's showing up.
Yeah, and if you're doing this at a campground that's clothing optional, you got to have a few guys up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you've got to have at
four
least
or five guys.
15 people yeah. for a camp out.
Yeah.
We were getting, at the height of the last round of Radical Fairies,
mm-hmm.
I think the biggest camp out we had was 45 men.
Wow.
Running around the woods.
Oh, that what a great group.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
We really had a good time. And it was very powerful because a lot of people form connections. And from what I've heard, over the last few years mm-hmm. is that some of these people have stayed in touch with each other.
Oh,
so
good.
You can form some very powerful bonds within this group. It's just amazing.
It is. It is.
And I know it's kind of dated in certain ways. It was born in the 70s.
Yeah.
60s. 70s.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the traditions come from that time era.
And our whole community has changed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really, anybody who's a fairy is really on the fringe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But everybody else wants to get married or go in the service.
But it almost comes, it's almost like going back in time when you go to these events.
I'll bet.
Because, you know, we play a lot of old Motown and so 60s and 70s music.
That's my era.
Or do all kinds of stuff that was done back then.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, like some of the traditions. The
I would love
circle,
to see
the...
a bunch of naked guys with hula hoops.
Oh. Might get caught on something. Well, I guess it depends how erect you are.
Especially... you didn't know this because you were in Colorado, but a few weeks ago, I was sitting here with it was early in the show.
Yeah.
And this group came in that I was not aware of. They just stopped by.
Yeah.
And while we were doing the events in the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And so Chris had them wait in the lobby because he wanted to surprise me. And I knew exactly who they were as soon as they walked in. It was a Houston group for the World's Naked Bike Ride.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never thought Houston would have a group. This is the group who rides naked or near naked. You know, it's kind of optional there.
Mm-hmm.
In protest over big oil and energy problems that we have in the world. And it's worldwide.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of pictures of people from, you know, Australia, London.
Mm-hmm. San Francisco, probably.
Yeah, San Francisco. Oh, yeah. Mexico City. All over. All over. And I never thought Houston would be able to get away with having a group like that.
Oh, cool.
But they came in. Half of them were naked.
Yeah. Just half?
Yeah. I know. But you know, it's like you said,
that's
clothing
good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they talked about their group and what they were doing, and I was just amazed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do they go once a year?
It's once a year.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Wow. But the pictures last a lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm really on this kick now because
the average American, when you say nude, immediately they go to sex.
Yeah.
And it can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's nude bonding and
I'll think back to ancient Greek and ancient Roman culture. Nudity was...
The Olympics were done in the nude.
Yeah. In fact, the Greeks, both the Greeks and the Romans, depicted nude men as a high art.
Yes, everywhere.
Yeah. It wasn't considered, like in our culture, like pornography or something.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't about sexuality.
No.
It was about being... all natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole different kind of concept.
It is. It is. And American men can't get it.
Yeah.
European men have it.
Oh, yeah. And I have it.
Yes, and I have it. But, you know, not there's not that much of us.
And even when you
talk about on some of the Yahoo groups, some of the guys talk about having a nude get-together.
Yeah.
And then the next... email will be about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no.
I do the pagan stuff camp festivals, and those are all clothing optional.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, except in couples getting in their tents at night, there's very little sex going on.
Yeah, see? But there can be.
There can be. Sometimes around the Revels Fire, especially during Beltane.
Oh, really? Wow, the Revels Fire.
Yeah, you get people.
They've had some mead. And
Beltane's a fertility ritual.
Yes.
So it brings it out in people.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Where Samhain's a little more somber and Day of the Dead and... celebrating our ancestors.
Yeah, well, they still get there.
Oh, yeah. It still happens, but it's a little more somber than Beltane. And, you know, that's separate
from radical fairies. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there.
Oh, no, that's okay. We always go on tangents.
I know.
but for those that are interested in paganism...
Mm-hmm.
There are several pagan groups here in Houston.
Oh, I thought there was just
Texas.
One.
No, there's ESA, Earth Spirit Alliance.
Oh.
And then there's CMA, Council of Magical Arts.
Oh, yes.
And those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a bunch of splinter groups that I don't even know the names of. down in... Galveston area. I think there's a group even down there.
Oh, good.
I saw one group listed the West Houston Pagans. So,
really?
Yeah. Now, they don't do the festivals and campouts, but they do get little gatherings in town.
Probably at each other's houses.
Yeah. Or coffee shops or wherever.
Yeah. The first ritual I ever witnessed was in your kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
When you had that apartment in the Montrose.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time
ago. That's a long time ago.
I've done many powerful rituals, both at home and at pagan gatherings.
Yes.
And for the radical fairies. Although for the radical fairies, they're not as pagan oriented, they're more spiritual bonding oriented.
Nature.
Yeah. And it is more of a celebration of nature and
it is.
And masculinity,
whatever form you want to take it. And coming of age.
And being, even me, with me, I'm always into the more androgynous parts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of guys that are very much into the pure male.
Yes. Yep.
So,
and wouldn't want it any other way, and that is great. That is great.
And, you know, we've even, at past radical fairy gatherings, we have had a few workshops and rituals that were men only.
Mm-hmm.
So, where while women are permitted to come to the gatherings,
yeah.
Every once in a while, some of the men just want a male-only space. So that's always possible.
And then women have to acknowledge that because
yeah.
they certainly carve out women-only spaces.
Oh, yeah.
For, you know.
Yeah.
But it is important to have a male-only space. And
mm-hmm.
get that testosterone going.
And get the bonding and
yeah.
connections going. And it really is all, you know, I think even back in the 60s and 70s, it's really about bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Forming connections yes. with yes. each other.
And because at that time, we were splintered.
Yeah.
We lived in an era where, in New York City anyway, no more than three homosexuals could be together at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was against the law to serve an alcoholic drink to a homosexual.
Mm. Oh my.
We don't even hardly use that word anymore, but it reminded me of a quote from Truman Capote, who said, "A faggot is the homosexual gentleman who just left the room."
But in some ways, we have lost some of yes. our connections.
We have.
In the modern, I mean, in today's
And it happens with every group, every race.
Mm-hmm.
When they come here, you know, it's an assimilation.
Yeah.
And you do lose some of your culture.
Yeah. But it can be reclaimed at an event yeah. like this
mm-hmm.
and celebrated and kind of recognized.
Wow.
And I think that's what the important yeah. thing is to, even though it's not a day-to-day thing, it is something we can capture again.
Okay. Was there something else we're going to talk about tonight?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the bisexual thing.
Okay. Again. Well, why don't we go to a piece of music? Can we do that? And then do the
come
bisexual
back
thing.
With some bisexual myths.
Okay.
I will never get tired of that song, ever. Small Town Boy by Jimmy Somerville.
Yeah.
And it's a story of a gay boy in a small town, and the message is, get the hell out of there.
Oh, yes.
Get you to a big town.
I was a bi boy in a small town. Well, we lived in a small East Texas town for a couple of years. It was a nightmare.
I bet it was.
And being a preacher's kid
and
getting caught playing with boys in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
That was the scandal of the town.
Oh, well. And the scandal was on you, not the other boys.
Oh, yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
And that's a good lead-in for bisexuality.
Oh, yes.
I want to start off by saying...
Yes.
My philosophy on bisexuality is that 10% of men are gay.
Yeah.
10% of men are straight.
Yeah.
And everybody else is in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
Between 0 and 6
on the Kinsley scale. Yeah.
Yes. You know, you may just, you know, be a 1.5 and maybe think of it every once in a while.
Yeah, once
or, you know, maybe a 5 and whew.
You know me, I'm right in the middle.
You are right in the middle.
I mean, I love both boys and girls.
You do. You do.
There's just something beautiful about all forms of genitalia.
See? So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I've been noticing on the listserv, the Binet Houston, Binet USA.
Yes.
The bisexual myths have been coming up again.
I know.
It's like, and I don't know if you're familiar with Dan Savage that does that radio show and slashes.
Yeah, I try not to.
Bisexuals, says it doesn't exist.
I know, and that's crazy.
Then that study done and that the New York Times published that bisexual men don't exist.
That's crazy.
And, you know.
I've known too many of them. I've loved too many of them.
And there are so many myths out there, you know, bi men or they'll leave you for a woman.
No.
Or if you're a bi woman, you'll leave your girlfriend for another boy. Or and like Jay used to put it, hey, I may dump you for another girl.
Yes, exactly. Hello.
It's not about who, it's about how good you are in a relationship.
Yes, exactly.
But there are so many different myths like that.
I know, and it drives me crazy. They keep resurrecting them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even here in Houston, I've run into the myth that, well, if you're bi, you're just hiding and getting heterosexual privilege.
Just go to any adult arcade and count the wedding rings. Hello.
I mean, to me, I think there are different types of bisexuals.
Yeah, yes.
I mean,
there's
we're kind of all
few,
lumped
there
in
there are very few like you.
Yeah, very few.
Because you're right in the middle.
Oh, yes. And, but I think also, you know, I am... In a sense, I'm not really bisexual because I'm a hermaphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no opposite sex or same sex for me.
Okay.
So I don't fit the exact definitions of gay, straight, or bi.
Oh, boy.
So how can I be any of those?
I don't know. But I just want to think of you as bi.
Oh, yes. Oh, I am bi. Well, I kind of think of myself as pansexual.
Yeah.
Anything sexual, just at least once. I'll try it. but I'm atypical for a lot of people in the bi movement.
Yes.
There's a lot of bis that are monogamous.
Mm-hmm. Probably most.
Many.
Yes.
I wouldn't say most, but I would say many.
Okay.
There's a pretty strong polyamorous.
Oh, yes.
But polyamory isn't just restricted to bisexuality. polyamory can be gay or straight. Mm-hmm. It just means you have more than one lover.
Yes. Because
and that's not attached to sexual orientation.
No, because you feel that one person cannot meet all your needs.
Right. And believe me, the way I go.
I know. I don't see you in action.
Oh, yeah. And my erotic taste is everywhere.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I mean, I love having romantic encounters. I love having kinky encounters. Mm-hmm. I love everything in between.
Toys.
I love toys.
Of all kinds, yes.
I think that part of the problem, though, with bisexuality and why it gets such a bad name is because it is so invisible.
Totally invisible.
Totally. You know, when people see me walking down the street, they think I'm either gay or straight,
mm-hmm.
depending who...
Who you're with, yes.
And, you know...
They don't think of you as bi.
Yeah.
There are no bi bars or clubs. Or, you know, if there are any, you know, there's one in a big city, and it may not be open for very long because mm-hmm. the bi community is invisible. They are not organized at all.
Yeah.
And I think it stems from so many bisexuals are married.
Yeah.
And
closeted.
And they fear losing their families mm-hmm. if they came out of the closet.
Yeah.
Because so many have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, and, you know, I see all this, and I still kind of, I don't know, it's just something in me kind of, because I did organize Binet Houston.
You did.
And it's still running. Mm-hmm. I don't run it anymore, because after a few years, I realized we were getting new members, and they'd walk in the door, see me, and run right out.
I didn't.
No, but... But many were a little intimidated.
Yes.
When I'm wearing combat boots and a skirt.
Yeah.
And have red painted nails.
Yeah, it's a little much, you know.
And someone's coming in for their first time, very nervous and, mm-hmm. and wanting to be very discreet. And they see me blaring out there. It's like, oh.
Oh, too much. We're not. And then there's so many, there were a lot of, I remember, I went to some meetings.
But, yeah.
I'm not really bi.
Yeah. But you had bi boyfriends. And I think that was the thing about Binet USA. You know, we had some straight women and
mm-hmm.
straight men and gay
and
men.
It was a little disconcerting, women. Though, because it was an organization... it is an organization for bis to get together.
Yeah. But it's also support, too, for
yes.
partners of bis.
But I really got kind of hacked because there were people who would come in looking for a pickup.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really obvious.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, you know, that's not what this is.
It's supposed to be a supportive environment for bis to get together and their partners and learn more about bisexual issues.
And they still meet.
Oh, yes.
Hubbit Cafe.
I think so. I haven't checked in a mm-hmm. while. It's mm-hmm. been a long while.
It has been a while.
Yeah. I'm, you know, as far as I know, Pega is still running it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if she comes in here very often.
No, because she lives in Missouri City.
Yeah.
She wanted to do a monthly segment.
Yeah.
But she wanted to do it on tape.
Ah. And that just didn't work.
No, this is live radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to see bisexuality become more visible in our society.
I would, too.
I really would. There are a lot out there.
Okay, we have to wrap up. Oh my God. Look at it. The time. Okay, we're gonna talk about bisexuality next month.
Okay.
Okay?
It's a deal.
Okay, Gigi, and I don't know what you call your segment.
It's human sexuality.
Okay, that works.
And sacred sex.
And that's it. We'll be back with Roundtable.
Hi, I'm Sam Gonzalez from the Sharptown High School Broadcasting Program.
I'm Victoria Oluwole.
I'm Gloria Johnson.
I'm Darnell Anderson.
AFS is a worldwide nonprofit organization that has been leading international high school student exchange for more than 60 years.
Each year, AFS USA welcomes 2,500 international high school students who come to study in U.S. high schools and live with host families.
We are looking for families in the Houston area to become host families to students arriving in August.
To learn more about hosting for the 2011-2012 school year, visit afsusa.org/host family.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the Broadcast Journalism Program at Sharptown High School.
This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT's Summer Sizzle membership campaign is coming, and we need you to make it a success. The following trainings are scheduled for July. Please consider attending. Monday, July 25th, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 26th, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 27th, 10 to 11 a.m. and 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Sunday, July 31st, 6 to 7 p.m. All trainings will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard, near downtown Houston. Visit kpft.org for a complete foam volunteer training schedule. KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting in high-definition radio. You can go to kpft.org to find out more information about the programming on channels 2 and 3. You can also join us on Facebook. You can join KPFT. You can also join After Hours, which is facebook.com/afterhourskpft. For more information on what we do here and some of the fun stuff we've got. Try to remember to put up each week some ideas of what the topics are going to be that we've got. Little teasers on Roundtable. Sometimes I do a video of the week. Sometimes. Somebody was complaining that I didn't have a video of the week up this week, so I was going to let him decide. I had two song titles that seemed perfect for him, and he has to choose between Lily Allen and CeeLo Green, of which version of F you do you want? Personally, I prefer the Lily Allen version because we can do the play, the one that was done at Manchester Pride back 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we've played the, I don't know if we played the cleaned up version on here before of her song. It's turned into a like kind of a gay pride song over in England. And a couple of years ago during gay pride, they had people lip syncing parts of it.
Oh, really?
Including, you know, men in drag, police officers, paramedics that were there, teenagers that were there. And the great part was when you had in the one scene in the video, you've got, oh, maybe 200 people in this one section all yelling F you.
Oh, wow.
In with the song. And it's a cutesy little song. They've got a cleaned up version, but then again, since the predominant word in the predominant phrase in the song is F you. There's a lot of boink, and you know, it sounds like an old Spike Jonze song. All the boinks and tweaks and that, so you do not hear them say the actual word of F you rather than just saying F you. But, like I said, we got a couple of stories here with Roundtable. It's one of those things that, especially with, a lot of the topic this past week was gearing up for gay marriage in New York, which we'll touch a little bit on. Gearing up for the beginning of the certification of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So there was a lot of those topics going on. And then, you know, the tragic news coming out of Norway did hit on some of the websites that we go to for sources, as well as, of course, the news of Amy Winehouse. The interesting part on that one was the one website that constantly referred to her as Amy Wino. when it came time to announce her death, they did use her name and called her Amy Winehouse, and was polite about it, which is kind of unusual to see on that website instead of their usual stuff. So we're going to try and come up with a couple more topics that we have for that. I guess we're going to put a little bit of music in your ear until we get the rest of the crew in here, which we're asking, oh, ready? It's time for them to load in here. Well, so we got over Jim Varavos.
Yes, one more time.
Vera, how the hell do you spell that guy's name?
Here you go.
Varavos, not Vros. Varavos.
Here it comes, right in your ear.
Like it when you hold me close and then we stay that way through the night. The rain falls down on us, sending chills up and down my spine, but we don't seem to mind. So kiss me, baby, just dream of mine, and touch me, baby, just one more time. So soft and gentle, like one more. I can feel your breath on me and your skin right next to mine. Please don't ever let this go. Turn off all the lights, come lay down right by my side, and baby, just close your eyes. So kiss me, baby, just one more time. I just can't get enough. You're like a dream of mine, and touch me, baby, just one.
Hold on, I'm going to push the talk button on here. Where are you at?
Yeah.
There we go. Hey, we're legit. All right, time for our After Hours Roundtable. The first one I want to throw out there is a story that I had, I forgot if I put on the After Hours or I put on my Facebook about, we definitely have to cover this one because it made interesting reading that it was one of the headlines on Drudge Report. And so that, of course, led me to the bastion of journalistic integrity, FoxNews.com.
Oh, always fun there.
Hey, Rupert Murdoch.
The National Institute of Health study examined the effects of penis size in the gay community. The verdict is Fox News has the biggest pricks, and they put them on air.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
The federal government helped fund a study that examined what effect a gay man's penis size has on his sex life and general well-being. The study was among several backed by the National Institute of Health that have come under scrutiny from a group claiming the agency is wasting valuable tax dollars at a time when the country is trying to control its debt. Mm-hmm. The particular research resulted in a 2009 report titled, and I quote, "The Association Between Penis Size and Sexual Health Among Men Who Have Sex with Men," unquote. The study among reported among its finding that gay men with, quote, below average penises, unquote, were more likely to assume, quote, a bottom, unquote, sexual position, while those with above average penises were more likely to assume a top sexual position.
I don't know.
Those with average penises identify themselves as versatile in the bedroom. Though it's difficult to trace exactly how much federal funding went into the project, the study was one of many linked to a $900,000 grant in 2006. The grant was administered by the National Institute of Health's National Institute on Drug Abuse and went first to a group called Public Health Solutions and a researcher with the National Development and Research Institutes before going out to individual researchers.
So compared to our spending, it's nothing as a nation. I mean, there are groups that we could tax just 10% of their income. Some of the largest companies, Oceanic being one of them, that would more than well pay for that.
$900K is a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even a good toilet seat.
Those researchers then compiled data from a survey of more than 1,000 gay and bisexual men at events in New York City for the gay community. So basically, they went to New York City Pride and go whip it out, and probably didn't even ask you to whip it out. Just, okay, how big are you, and are you a top or a bottom?
That's just New York.
Really scientific.
Yeah.
Yeah, might as well go into a chat room.
Well, in that case, it should have gone to the gay cruising areas and not Pride.
Yeah.
It's at events for the gay community.
Well, you know.
Did they produce an actual journal?
Yeah, there was a report in 2009 called The Association Between Penis Size and Sexual Health Among Men Who Have Sex with Men.
So when I go to New York later this week, you know, on Friday, I'll remember to bring my measuring tape with me.
I'm just doing research for radio in Houston.
It's just a tape measure.
You don't get any grant money.
So, instant gratification is just as good.
This country is broken. We cannot spend money on this kind of stuff, said Andrea Lafferty, president of the Traditional Values Coalition.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, please.
My guess is, Andrea, because if it was talking about gay men, you weren't going to get to see the results. Which drew attention to the report as part of a six-month investigation into NIH grants for examples of institutional waste. We're spending money on wacky stuff, Lafferty said. But one of the researchers involved in the report told FoxNews.com that NIH funding was only used to help analyze and write up data that had already been collected without the use of taxpayer funds.
Is that analyze or analyse?
Analyse.
Oh.
The data was not collected. The data were not collected using taxpayer funds, Jeffrey Parsons, professor with Hunter College, said in an email. NIH funds were not used to measure anyone's penis size. The study was funded by the Hunter College Center for HIV/AIDS Educational Studies and Training, the Institution of Health said. Dr. Christian Grove, Grav, there's no E at the end, was supported as a postdoctoral research fellow at the time the research was conducted by the National Institute on Drug Abuse funded training grant. Parsons took issue with Lafferty's description of the grant. A Traditional Values Coalition release stated that at least $4.9 million went to a 10-year study that included the penis-sized research. But Parsons said it appeared that it references a much broader postdoctoral training program of which penis studying funding was a small part.
And you're worried about this. Why? Oh, wait. It's probably because most of the men in your coalition have small penises. I'm sorry. And that means you're not getting any.
Other studies stemming from the same 2006 grant examined topics ranging from the drug market in Houston following Hurricane Katrina to the connection between contraceptives and STD prevention in Madagascar. Wait, I never saw any of those animals in that movie with condoms.
No, same here.
But I did think some of them were on drugs.
Yes. Especially the penguins.
The lemur.
The penguins.
Don't forget about the lemur either.
To suggest that $9.4 million was spent to study penis sizes is factually inaccurate and simply designed to create news, Parsons wrote. The study, which last year was published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, claimed there previously had been, quote, little research among men who have sex with men assessing the association between penis size and sociosexual health. The study found that men with larger penises were more likely to contract certain sexually transmitted diseases. They also found that men with above-average penises enjoyed more satisfaction with their lifestyle. The original survey had a relatively high response rate, with 83% of those approached agreeing to participate. As an incentive, those who completed the survey were given a voucher for free admission to a movie.
Oh.
I'm taking the Hummer.
Right? So, where's that song? Do you have it queued up?
What?
Enormous Penis?
No. Lafferty's group drew attention to several other studies Monday that were claimed were bizarre in the current fiscal climate. Among one of those is that asked individuals to mail in their toenails to measure toenail nicotine levels, according to the Values Coalition. The president said he was going to hunt down waste. Well, I'm going to give it to him on a platter, Lafferty said.
Okay. She wishes it was big enough that she could put it on a platter, I'm sure.
I've seen that picture, the guy with the three hot dogs on the tray. Oh.
The thing I find wrong with that, though, is, like, she's complaining about how much we spend on, how much other people spend on research and stuff, but what about her organization or any of the other Christian-related organizations? How much money do they spend on research, whether it's grants or otherwise, doing God only knows what for their research.
Well, here's the part I want to point out about this is basically they're taking this big issue with the fact of how the economy is in the toilet and we spent all this money on that.
But yet we're giving all these big corporations.
Well, here's the first part I want to reiterate. Other studies stemming from the same 2006 grant. Mm-hmm.
Money
this away. Grant was approved under the George W. Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Obama.
And it is
for the housing crisis.
And yes. Possibly the report was issued during the Bush administration, or at least very early in the first year of the Obama administration. I'm sorry, 2009 would have been the first year of the Obama administration. Yeah. So if you want to complain about who wanted to do a dick check, it's the Bush administration.
It's
W for Winky, who wanted to find out how big they were.
And he was concerned.
I think he was feeling a little inadequate when he was in the clubhouse at the country club after doing after a golfing outing.
And to be fair, I mean, if you have a last name of Bush,
you know.
You got to know what the penis size was of, you know. Yeah.
He wanted to see, you know.
Because, yeah, I hear they're cutting bushes down over there because, you know, when you take care of the undergrowth, the tree looks taller. So I wonder what they're talking about, cutting down the bush. Cut.
Trimming, it makes it
just
bigger.
Because it looks bigger doesn't mean it is.
He wanted to know if that one time in college that he did take it up the ass, if they were all that big.
Hmm.
Supposedly.
How would well, he have remembered he was so drunk?
I know.
But he was not drunk. He was on coke. Poor
I apologize to all alcoholics out there for grouping you with that man.
Where's the argument?
I believe the former governor said it best when poor George, he was born with a silver spoon up his nose. And I guess I don't know if this goes under hypocrisy or irony.
Six of one, half dozen the other, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Lesbian couple told to stop holding hands at a Gertrude Stein exhibit in San Francisco.
That's just dumb, is what that is. Really?
California is changing dramatically.
Yeah.
They're not the happy, hippie state anymore.
They've been gentrified.
Come on, they've got Governor Moonbeam again. They got Governor Moonbeam, and they just got rid of Governor I'm Gonna Stoop the Maid.
You mean the Sperminator?
Yeah.
Governor.
The Contemporary Jewish Museum.
There's a new comic book coming out.
Oh, good lord.
I've got a comic book story for somebody in there.
It actually is the governor.
The Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco is taking very seriously an incident in which a guard tried to get a lesbian couple to stop holding hands while they were viewing, ironically enough, an exhibit on lesbian writer and poet Gertrude Stein. The San Francisco Chronicle wrote, Levakow was in the gallery with her partner when she noticed a young lesbian couple in a heated conversation with a security guard. They were holding hands, Levakow said, and he told them they couldn't hold hands in the museum. The couple did not agree. A small crowd began to form, and the guard attempted to shoo the couple out the door to quiet things down. And they said, no, we're not leaving. We want to talk to somebody in authority right now, Levakow said. The idea that in 2011, in San Francisco, at the Jewish Museum, this guard could be that out of touch was shocking. Museum officials sent a letter to those affected by the incident, and the museum's board and staff, says the Bay Citizen reporting. It caused quite an uproar, Daryl Carr, director of marketing communications at the museum, said, who was out of town at the time of the incident. The museum does not employ its own guards, instead outsourcing work to a company called Guardsmark.
Rent-a-cops.
Carr said the guard who reprimanded the couple was filling in due to a shortage and was not regularly assigned to the museum. Shortly after the incident, the guard was asked to leave the museum, according to Carr. The museum wrote a letter to Guardsmark expressing their unhappiness over the incident. We asked for him to be fired, actually, Carr said, but the company had instead reprimanded the guard and promised to provide sensitivity training to guards currently assigned to the museum and any guards assigned in the future. The guard who objected to the hand-holding will never work at the museum again.
That doesn't stop him from trying to do that sort of stuff anywhere else in any other place of work.
Good for the museum. Problem.
Yeah, it's good to see that the... It was the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco, who basically was putting on an exhibition by Gertrude Stein. I think Jimmy just walked in, so I'm going to give him the recap on this.
I heard Gertrude Stein, yeah. Yes.
A lesbian couple was told by a security guard at the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco to quit holding hands while they were at an exhibit for Gertrude Stein.
Oh, brother.
Now, I think the guard should be very thankful because I'm going to assume there was probably a large lesbian contingency in that museum at the time. He's lucky he walked out of there with his badge, his balls, and his boots.
I don't know. For some reason, I just remembered the lesbians over age 50, their little chant, 2, 4, 6, 8, how do you know your grandma's straight?
Oh, I don't remember hearing that one. That is a scary thought. A couple of contest winners want to announce on this. Gay couple wins dream wedding. Trans woman wins dream breasts.
Oh, congratulations.
Gay couple Mitch Lee and Ryan Lowry of Nebraska just won more than $20,000 in invitations, catering, cake, rental costs, photography, and more in the Journal Star's Ultimate Wedding Giveaway Contest.
Wow.
Meanwhile, a musician named Avery in Calgary, Canada, just won breast implants from an AMP radio contest that people found sexist and distasteful, despite entries by breast cancer patients who had mastectomies. Both couples, the boys and the boobs, snagged a huge majority of the online vote, showing that in some communities actively support their aspirations of queer neighbors. Happy endings all around.
Yay, boobs.
Ryan? Yeah, I had read the story about the contest they were trying to for the breast implants, and there were contestants there, some of them who had, you know, mastectomies and were trying to regain the appearance they had beforehand. And here was a future trans woman who wanted to get them because,
well,
she wanted to look more like a woman.
Yeah. And so I thought it was kind of strange that they, two contest winners, won $20,000 for a gay wedding in Nebraska, which, not there yet.
Whoa.
They're going to have to go over to Iowa.
Yeah, have to go over to the more progressive state of Iowa.
Go figure.
And now, let's see. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, Jose.
What?
If I hear the phrase, "that's hot," coming out of you, I will have to slap you stupider than you already are.
No!
And it's very un-Pacifica of me.
I'm sorry, I don't have red hair, so fire away.
Woodstock man arrested for allegedly setting a teen on fire during sex.
That's
what?
Hot.
What?
That is hot.
A man accused.
Don't do that. He'll splatter.
A man accused of setting a teenager on fire during an alleged sexual encounter at a Woodstock, Georgia motel was arrested on Tuesday in Gwinnett County.
Using you meaning to the phrase, your sex is on fire.
Joseph Raymond Zayok, 61, was charged by Woodstock police with aggravated battery, cruelty to children first degree, false imprisonment, and solicitation of sodomy.
Ooh.
Woodstock police spokeswoman Brittany Duncan said that on July 12th, Woodstock officers responded to Grady Memorial Hospital in reference to a person injured. On arrival, investigators met with a 17-year-old male who stated that Zayok, also known as JR, had set him on fire.
Why?
Duncan said the alleged incident occurred the evening of July 10th at the Suburban Lodge on Wood Park Boulevard in Woodstock.
Was he trying to have sex while smoking?
The victim stated that Zayok promised him money in return for certain acts. During one of these acts, the victim was bound, gagged, and set on fire.
Oh.
Zayok was arrested on early Tuesday at the All Around Suites in Gwinnett County.
You need to know what you're doing for fire play. And this is something that I tell all the people I come in contact with in the Freak Nation. Always check ID. Always
check ID. He's 61 and he picked up a 17-year-old?
Yeah.
Jimmy's jealous.
No, that's... Ooh.
I think Chris Hansen would be on that story, but...
keep a wet towel. They kind of have him over a barrel.
Keep a wet towel.
Near.
Not just to clean up afterwards.
To put out your partner. Yeah, apparently pissing on him doesn't work.
Unicorn booty!
That's another thing I can pull information from here. I got a story here for a certain member of the group over there I think he would be interested in. Oops.
You know what? It was probably cupping.
Now, if you bound and gagged him first there, I got a feeling he was looking for something a little bit more.
No, it's just suction.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Anyway. I'm familiar with
fire.
I'll show you later.
I may claim to be vanilla, but I do know that particular...
You will need to shave, sir.
No, I'm actually rather smooth, so I wouldn't need to.
Okay.
All right.
Hello? Okay.
Chirp, chirp.
Good news for some people here. Superman's sexless existence... I don't know who I'll be speaking this to here, but for those of you who are not fluent in nerdery, Comic-Con has descended upon San Diego this weekend, and the comic book bigwigs are dispensing spoilers about their upcoming titles.
On Thursday.
Among them, J. Michael Straczynski, author of DC Comics' upcoming sequel to the non-canon Superman Year One. During the discussion of the company's forthcoming series, Straczynski revealed that Superman will have his opportunity to have sex with a human... but totally blows it. apparently the Man of Steel needs a Viagra. Straczynski related in the upcoming book, Clark has spent his whole life unable to have sex. and related a scene where, after fighting the parasite, Clark gets depowered, takes off his suit, and heads home to finally have a sexual liaison with his super hot neighbor, Lisa.
Mm. Smallville season 5.
The Man of Aluminum.
As Straczynski explained, when he was young, Paul Kent told Clark he'd probably never be able to engage in sexual relations due to the possibility of losing control over his powers. Clark initially passes out but starts to get intimate with her after waking up again. Soon afterwards, his X-ray vision suddenly returns and becomes frustrated that he slept through the seemingly only window to safely have sex. While many people, male and female, like to fantasize about Superman as a sexual being, it's probably best he steers clear of intercourse with humans. We humans are strong, but are we strong enough for Kryptonians, super sperm?
Blow our brains out.
Literally.
Well, then.
That's what blue kryptonite is for.
I know, right?
So, did they slip some, like, kryptonite in his lube or something?
He just passed out before he got there.
Well, he was too excited.
Everybody was always speculatory as to, you know, how Superman would have sex with a human. And they've made a billion different ways that he can do it. So, yeah.
let's see. Of course, the big news this week was the upcoming weddings in New York State.
Yeah, I saw the headline about the lesbian couple.
At Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
In a couple days, Jose? Are you going to go find something?
Yeah, I was thinking of going to the Ramble middle of the night and, you know, maybe find a partner.
Yeah. Just so you can come back with a wedding certificate.
Right.
This one here
is kind of skinny. I could pack him in my suitcase, I guess.
I think he'd fit.
Well, Jose, there's still those alligators down in the sewers.
I'm still checking, though.
What are you suggesting, Vincent?
I'm suggesting you might get married this week.
Go see the Book of Mormon if you do.
Right?
Now,
if I can score some tickets, I will.
Queerty made a comment on here about guess which closeted Republican will be among those first to marry in New York City. And, of course, it is two power-fisting bottoms.
Awesome.
The Off-Broadway Avenue Q will mark marriage equality by having Rod and Ricky, the same-sex puppets who have met and fallen in love on the stage 3,267 times since its opening in 2003, will join men and women lining up at City Hall to officially wed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The first day same-sex couples can legally be married in the state. I just hope the newlywed puppets will make it back uptown in time for the show's 3 p.m. curtain call.
After they clean up all the Crisco.
I think I can legitimately call them both power fisting bottoms because they are puppets and that is where the hand goes.
You know who likes fisting? Hand puppets.
And Jose.
Now here's the twisted part. On here they say a hair is not the only Broadway musical that's celebrating a gay wedding this week. There's a certain semi-famous closeted Republican finally tying the knot with his same-sex partner on Sunday. Here's a hint. It's not Charlie Crist. I posted a video from Apple Daily News in Hong Kong that was talking about gay marriage. And they teased a little part about it, the lottery that the New York City was going to go to assign people for gay marriage. And one of the lottery balls they pulled out was that said Anderson Cooper was able to get his wedding done, as they also refer to it as Gamageddon 2011. Someone posted a reply back, shouldn't it be Armageddon?
No, yeah, I saw
put the
that.
Gate in the middle. I can't really play that video on here because it's all in Chinese, and it's, you know, Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah. Look at doesn't these translate well over the radio.
Yeah, so I'd have to read all the translations there, so you can go to the after hours and you can find it.
Is that like the Star Wars translation of China?
No, it's
an actual translation.
Yeah, they put it on there. Apple Daily, it's... They're known best for doing the
3D animation.
The animation of the Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Thing. Yeah. His little incident. Now, of course, also
the golf club in the back of the window.
Yeah.
It's a YouTube blog. Okay.
And of course,
it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
They're going to be very busy in New York because the Westboro Baptist Church is showing up in New York to go help
these morons again.
Reverend Diaz with his protest.
Man, I want a plane ticket.
In anticipation of the inevitable backlash on Sunday when gays and lesbians can legally jump the broom for the first time, I decided to check out what those wing nuts at Westboro Baptist Church are planning for the big day. And I'm so glad I did.
Over did you throw rice?
Rice bombs. Over at GodHatesFags.com, the WBC already has its picketing schedule lined up. On Sunday at 7:30, when most New Yorkers are making their morning coffee, doing the crossword puzzle, or rolling over and wondering what the name of the trick is laying next to them, the Fred Phelps Klan will be staging a formal protest in front of the Marriage Bureau in Manhattan. They are picketing the reprobates of fag-infested New York State to remind them that God defined marriage as a sacred union between one man and one woman for life.
On Sunday.
That's a lot to digest before noon.
Freedom of religion.
Well, actually, I mean, God instituted the sacred union between one man and technically and the woman who her father decided to give away for a certain amount of money and prestige.
Mm. So it's kind of like prostituting your out, more or less.
Yeah. The post goes on to elaborate the point by declaring that means no fag marriage, no dyke marriage, and no divorce plus remarriage. Queerty is unclear how divorce is being laid at our feet when we can't even get married yet. But sometimes when God's on the table, it's best to leave things in blind faith. Or just ask for a second glass of Kool-Aid.
What was the last thing you said at Jonestown? The Kool-Aid tastes kind of funny.
Yeah. By the way, if anybody wants to know the timetable for Westboro going around New York, from 7:30 to 9, they're going to be at the Marriage Bureau in Brooklyn. From 9:45 to 10:30, they're going to be at the Marriage Bureau in Bronx. 11:15 to 12... wait a minute. I scratched that. Back up a little bit. They're going to be at the Marriage Bureau in Manhattan from 7:30 to 9. The Brooklyn branch at 9:45 to 10:30. Bronx from 11:15 to 12. And then over to Gracie Mansion, where the mayor will preside over the wedding of two staffers from 4:30 to 5:30. So,
now, they plan to do this in New York on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Okay. When
they're
what about,
probably closed, right?
They're not thinking about traffic, are they?
No, it's no. Actually, all the marriage bureaus will be open on Sunday, and guests and judges are volunteering to come in and provide the ceremonies.
Oh, the WBC have no soul. They make Bachman look progressive. They are the Antichrist, and that extremists preach about, and the more they influence our society, the more scared I am.
Interesting with the Bachmans. This past week, a group of gay barbarians came to Bachman's husband's clinic to discuss his concepts of homosexuality.
Are we talking like the ones in the commercials?
Gay barbarians?
Gay barbarians. They
were they in pink fur?
I was thinking Renfest. It was
rainbow like loincloth.
Hold on. Come on.
Fabulous raiding power.
Right.
So come on, I know they had
the axe and the axe handle.
They went down and they did glitter bombing of his office and then posed for a picture out front. Oh, come on. I know Queerty had to cover it.
So he went home covered in glitter, reeking of shame.
He wasn't there.
What else is new?
That's weird. I thought they had it on there. I'll have to find it over here. I think it's over on Unicorn Booty. There was a group of them there in... trying to find a picture to show them here. But you know, I'll find it. But I'll put it back. I'll put something up on our Facebook about that. You know, when STD and STI awareness here in the United States, we have kind of puritanical view of it. You know, it's only been 10 years since we started allowing condom ads on television, and you couldn't say that it was just for preventing pregnancy, but you also had to say about the effects of preventing sexually transmitted diseases. Over in France, they do things a whole lot different. I've seen a couple of safe sex awareness cartoons that they have put on there. And Wow. both of them are listed as not safe for work. They've got a sexy fingers AIDS awareness.
You know, when I was in community college, I used to do like a slideshow from the health department coming and do a slideshow of the of what the STD would do to your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty graphic.
Oh, these are cartoons. Leave it to French to create a Trey sexy video and advertisement for getting tested. It's animated, musical, and totally not safe for work. unless you
My
work...
three favorite things.
Yeah, unless you work in a sex shop. Their Sexy Fingers campaign encourages folks to do the finger prick rapid test for HIV. It even has a website where you can play sexual instruments like condom xylophone, the vibra dildo, and the synthesizer rainbow jock.
Awesome.
Wow. You can also scratch the turntable action on the disco tits.
Nice.
When can we expect an all erogenous techno band? So it's very cutesy little cartoon of them going through, and you see them, you know, the picture they have here on Queerty shows a person fingering the rainbow colored jock strap as a synthesizer. It's weird. Another one that they do has bathroom graffiti, where someone has, in the woman's bathroom, someone has drawn a penis. And so tries going after the woman that's in there, and then goes into this other stall and sees all this, someone has written, apparently in the women's bathroom, all these pictures of vaginas everywhere. And so this cartoon penis is trying to chase them down, trying to have sex with them. And they're all running away from him, running away. And then all this, and he runs around the whole restroom and gets over to the sinks where a woman is applying eyeliner. And she sees the poor penis drawing, and she goes and she draws a condom on it. And all of a sudden, all the vaginas start flocking to him. It's weird.
It's brilliant.
It's weird. It's brilliant. But it's, you know, it's... It's a little...
It gets your attention. I think that's the important part.
We have the ad that has all the pigs in the bar, and then the one guy who has a condom is a human. Yeah, so it has something kind of like that.
Whoa, what an interesting picture.
Rick
I like the look
Santorum.
Santorum?
As they say, Rick Santorum has a Google problem. When you Google his name, you end up getting... The website most prominently on there is Spreading Santorum, which is a tribute to him from Dan Savage, the syndicated columnist, who, after Santorum as senator from Pennsylvania, made a comment of that gay sex leads to man-on-dog love and all that other stuff, wanted to create something of the sex act named after him. And the official... official name of what Santorum is the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. So now that he's running for president, he has what's called a Google problem. Well, this latest picture does not help any. Oh, now, Santorum has raised less than $500,000 for his campaign compared to the millions raised by his GOP competitors. He's also comes in dead last in average... in the average of the four nationwide polls. So how is Santorum making up his losses? By asking donors to Google his name and by getting photos taken of him deep-throating soft-serve ice cream cones that look curiously like a doo-doo swirl. There's a picture of him eating a chocolate ice cream cone and...
He's deep-throating it!
He's deep-throating this chocolate
Jimmy,
swirled...
I'm sure you're envious.
Ice cream cone, and when your name is also known as a frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that's sometimes a byproduct of anal sex, to have anything brown and swirly around you
is a no-no.
It's not smart.
Well, isn't Santorum, Rick Santorum, the byproduct of anal sex?
Possibly.
I was going to say...
But the fact that
he should have chosen Jimmy's favorite color.
Pink?
Pink.
Yeah, but still then we just talked about the fact that he's deep-throating a dick.
It would have been better than the other picture here.
What about
It kind of reminds me of that one episode. It kind of reminds me of that one episode of South Park where they put everything up their ass and comes out their mouth.
It's a rusty venture.
Oh my god.
Okay, next.
I'm kind of digging here for a little bit. two recent entries into the It Gets Better video campaign. One of them made some news on that. It was Stephen Colbert, who somewhat stepped out of character to talk about an incident of when he was younger being called queer, and was relating the story of a friend of his who was also being called queer. And basically, his friend stood up to the bully and said, "Well, come on and give me a kiss then."
Wow.
So that's an interesting thing. You can go out and poke around some of the websites and see that. Another one that came out with a It Gets Better video is Randy Roberts Potts. He is the grandson to Oral Roberts.
Oh, wow.
The televangelist. Through his ministry, which Oral Roberts' ministry, which was estimated $120 million at its peak back in the 80s, Roberts was big on faith healing and preached prosperity gospel. Basically, the good Christians get lots of really good stuff. But I also found time to rail vehemently against homosexuality. And wouldn't you know it, Robert's grandson is gay. We'd call it poetic justice, but we wouldn't wish Oral Roberts as a pawpaw on anyone. Sadly, Oral Roberts' son Ronnie, Randy's uncle, was also gay and ended up committing suicide in a self-inflicted gunshot wound in 1982. In a sermon last Sunday at All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, Potts revealed that he nearly followed his father's example. "I almost relived his life in every way, marrying young, having children, becoming a teacher, becoming suicidal, all because I was never told his story, because his story as a gay man has been hushed up." Potts shares some of anger and sadness that he felt over Ronnie's death in a slightly long-winded contribution to the Gets Better campaign. I haven't listened to this one. But it's a 15-minute It Gets Better slogan.
Goodness.
Wow.
And he's standing in front of a blackboard, and the one part that is really touching on it says, "Dear Uncle Ronnie, it gets better."
Mm.
Wow.
And so, I mean, that'd be something to look at. I've watched through some of those with the stuff I tried doing with this campaign, and it's hard watching some of these. And with people's stories and all that. So it may be something for you to take a look at. Like I said, I think we've said it before there, the greatest cause of homosexuality is right-wingers. that's another one. Another video that I had put up on here was just pure camp. Because I happen to enjoy the show they were kind of poking fun out of here, of Hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
She may be a successful self-branding mogul these days, selling her products on QVC, starring in two popular reality TV shows, and churning out best-selling books every other month. But Tori Spelling will always be the long-suffering virgin Donna to us. Or...
Sigh.
One of the characters from the movie Trick in our community that... we don't play the songs that she sings.
Mm.
Thank God. We just usually stick with Como te gusta mi pinga.
There you go.
Or Dreamweaver. It's no secret that Tori is a good friend of the gays. She has a gay BFF and recently showed up at Outfest. She's always willing to lend her name out to our causes. But who knew there was a dark secret that she was keeping from her fans? Tori Spelling is a hoarder of gay men. including Clay Aiken. See for yourself. This is from the website Funny or Die. And if you watch Hoarders, it follows along with it. It's hilarious, them going through her house and basically... Now, the bad side of this is they treat the gay men like a rodent infestation. You know, they break open a wall and they go, "Oh my God, they've gotten into the walls." And you can see these disco lights flashing from awesome. In the walls. And the one thing that I do like about the video is that it's not all stereotypical Queer as Folk casting coming out in there. They have plenty of bears. They have a lot of olders. They have drag. I mean, it runs a good gamut of our community.
Any leather queens?
I think there was some in there too. And it's weird watching, you know, and like I said, the bad part is, you know, seeing them being treated like how they would treat the people who have too many cats or rats or anything right. in their house, and that, you know, spraying them with a spray bottle, trying to get them out, and loading them all up into one of those got junk trucks. But then telling her that she can pick one. You can keep one.
Nice.
So it's an interesting thing. Like I said, it's over at Funny or Die, which is a pretty interesting website. They were the ones who did the Prop 8 the musical.
Yes, I remember that.
A couple of years ago with that. And let's see, what's my next thing I want to try and go to? Let's go to so pointing off the unicorn booty. Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota or Wisconsin?
Minnesota, I think.
Pink unicorn. Was a part of they had a Senate hearings on trying to have the repeal of DOMA. The Defense of Marriage Act. And a member of Focus from the Family was invited to come and testify. And during his testimony, he went through and said a lot of reciting a report that came out from, I guess, was the National Institute of Health. No, it's Department of Health and Human Services. And unfortunately for the guy from Focus on the Family, Senator Franken read that report and basically said, that's not true. Senator Al Franken smacked down on Focus of the Family leader Tom Minnery before a Senate Judiciary Committee on the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act is required viewing as far as unicorn booty is concerned. Senator Franken catches the homophobic Minnery in a lie about the well-being of children in homes with gay parents. Minnery and his group hatefully twisted a Department of Health and Human Services study to appear as proof that only heterosexual couples are able to provide children with the best possible environment. The study actually came to a very different conclusion that actually favored the legalizing of same-sex marriages. Basically, what they said is children who come from a nuclear family, is what the study said, is nuclear family. The kids turn out better, there's less emotional issues, they get better access to health care, yada, yada, yada. Well, Focus on the Family took nuclear family to mean one father, one mother, either biological or adoptive, heading the household. They didn't read the part where in the report they actually defined nuclear family, which is a married couple, no discerning over the gender of either one of the partners in the married couple, raising a biological or adopted child, nuclear family. So basically, he was coming up with this thing here. Not only did Minnery lie to the Senate, he had the audacity to cite a study that actually supports same-sex marriage. You watch Franken takes him to task on this. Like I said, you can find it on Unicorn Booty. They have Lawrence O'Donnell's take on that, where he covered the story in his part there. And like I said, it's just watching. To think Al Franken is a comedian, he's a comic writer, from Saturday Night Live, and he just took this guy and, you know, his sarcastic nature going, well, it doesn't say that. And you can hear the people in the gallery were kind of giggling at that, going, no, but here's what it really says.
Yeah, I still remember that character he played, Stuart Smalley.
Yeah. But,
the man has some schooling behind him if you research his background.
I still think it's kind of nice the way that guy actually showed him. It's like, no, it doesn't say that from your... It's really this, not this twisted piece of whatever.
But groups like that are really good at...
twisting everything, I know. I'm very much aware of that. Remember, I grew up in a really Christian conservative household.
That explains everything.
Shut up.
It's really sad when some of our... when you think that you can get away with that on a floor, you know, with our world leaders, and think that these guys don't have enough time to read anything. You know, I'm glad that Al Franken at least read the report.
Yes. Okay, and our last bit of luck here, we're going to do... Apparently I'm going back into superhero talk for some reason. The Unicorn Booty is claiming they are getting high praise now from Batman.
What's he batting around this time?
Well, it's the new movie poster, the poster for the Batman movie that's coming out in 2012.
Right, yeah. The Dark Knight.
Okay, so according to Unicorn Booty, all right, who was it? Director Christopher Nolan, Batman himself, Christian Bale. Who is the Unicorn Booty reader who was working on the next Batman flick, The Dark Knight Rises? The poster for it features, I guess, from a ground view looking up at the skyscrapers around. And the area in between the skyscrapers forms a bat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also could look like a unicorn.
I can see it with that drawing next to it.
Yeah, they put a picture of a unicorn
their
next
to it.
So, trying to, you know, now they're trying to say that the next Batman movie is going to have a unicorn, which, you know, that's Neil Patrick Harris's domain.
Yes.
Who supposedly is going to be working on some sort of a short project. Someone saw a video movie called Hobo with a Shotgun, and they misread it and told Neil, so he's going to work on a project called Homo with a Shotgun.
He's in the new Smurfs movie, too.
Yeah. Jokey Smurf.
No, he actually plays one of the human...
Oh, he plays a human. I thought he was playing one of the Smurfs. Well, there was a question about the de-gaying of the... I saw about the Smurfs that supposedly... there's no Vanity Smurf.
Which is You're shame. Kidding.
Yeah.
Then I'm boycotting.
Well, who else is going to do Smurfette's hair? Come on. Anyway.
Well, I remember that also... I went to see Harry Potter today with some friends of mine that I hadn't seen in a while. And one of them... Like, one of them was looking up on his phone in Spanish the original, apparently the way the original Smurfs was. Apparently the one that's a woman was transgendered. Was a guy at one point, and Papa Smurf changed it.
It was,
oh, that's right. He
created... And it was episode one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, speaking of Harry Potter, there was a cute story on here of a...
Have you seen the Harry Potter babies?
Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
The Voldemort baby is absolutely creepy.
Yeah.
Some artist in England created all of the Harry Potter babies, and a friend of mine, Ken, has posted his photograph of Voldemort for his Facebook profile.
Okay, here's the last pretty one creepy. On this one here. This is a picture taken at the backstage of the MTV Movie Awards. Emma Watson met her match. The Harry Potter actress and Ivy League school dropout posed for a photo with Cameron Adams. The twink porn actor, better known as Hemini Gangham, in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Balls.
Fantastic.
I have to wonder what she was thinking when she was getting that picture taken.
She probably did not know, because very simply, you know, gay porn is not that mainstream on that, although... If you watch on Showtime right now, they are actually broadcasting the Gay VN Awards, the Gay Video News Awards. They've been broadcasting the Adult Video News Awards for the past couple of years. They had Lisa Lampanelli. The Gay VNs had, I forgot his name.
What was the end?
The really outflaming Filipino gay comic.
Okay.
I forget his name. I'll have to look that up there. But keep an eye out for that over on Showtime. And don't forget Q-Fest coming up here in Houston. Q-F-E-S-T. Queer music movie thing. We're at the end of our show. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale, followed by the Red Eye Special. You can find out what all sorts of program we have here on KPFT. Go to kpft.org. We will be back next week. Join us on Facebook. Facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT. You can contact us here. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Address is 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Just go on. We're running out of time.
Love, Houston, Texas, 77.6. We love hearing from you. And here you go. Here's the PSAs. Top of the hour. KPFT Houston.
KPFT is pleased to announce new programming. Now with an HD radio receiver, you can get KPFT's great music, news, and public affairs with a richer, crisper sound on HD1. On KPFT HD2, listen to Rice University Radio with the unique programming that made KTRU a gem on the dial. On KPFT HD3, you'll hear your favorites in new time slots, including Democracy Now!, Al Jazeera English, Uprising, Explorations, Alternative Radio, and more. HD Radio allows you to hear multiple programs through additional digital channels. The sound is crisper than FM, and your choices are expanded. Visit kpft.org to learn more about HD Radio broadcasting and program schedules. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1, and now alternative programming on HD2 and 3. KPFT, Houston.
Take the square root of 625 and you get 25. 25 is a number, as in the silver anniversary of the Watermelon Dance Summer Social. The Last Concert Cafe, located at 1403 Nance Street, is proud to present this KPFT benefit on July 30th, beginning at 5 o'clock. This year's lineup includes Lisa Novak, Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Richard Cagle and the Voodoo Choir, Zentropy, McAdams, Drum, Hightailers, Pot Roast, BMC, and at midnight, a special surprise. The admission fee is $15 for one. Bring a friend, receive a discount, $25 for two. Door proceeds benefit KPFT. For more information, dial 713-226-8563. See you on Saturday, July 30th. So don't think twice, just think silver. And remember, watermelon. The other, red meat. 90.1 KPFT.